Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabert, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Hallelujah, glory be to God, for he is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. We thank and praise God, hallelujah, for not only letting us see another day, but allowing us to still be in the land of the living and see another month. And truly we know that the Spirit of the living God, hallelujah, who sits on high, is worthy of all praise. Welcome, welcome, welcome this evening to another prophetic conference line here on Blog Talk Radio and on the conference line. We thank and praise God for all of you coming to enjoy the service with us this evening. We pray that the Spirit of the living God will fill your hearts, your spirit, answer questions that you had up on your heart or you just couldn't figure out. We just thank God for capable men and women anointed and appointed by God to be able to deliver and be able to explain the word of God. So sit back, relax, call, tweet, and whatever social media form that you use to let somebody know that we are here for another dynamic service on tonight. You're in for a treat, so be blessed. God bless you.
Amen. The scripture reading will come from Psalms 113 in its entirety. Give praise, servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be blessed both now and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, let the name of the Lord be praised. The Lord is exalted above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from this trash heap. In order to seat them with nobles, with the nobles of his people, he gives the childless woman a household, making her the joyful mother of children. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word, and the word of the Lord is blessed. Psalms 113 is in its entirety. God bless you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the word of the Lord is blessed. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to rule and reign another awesome, awesome Monday night prayer. Where the word of the Lord comes alive, and we just come to magnify your name tonight. We come to lift you up tonight. Father, without you, we are absolutely nothing. And Father, I lift up all the militaries to you tonight, all the veterans and their families up to you tonight. Father, I ask you to comfort them right now, heal and deliver them right now. Keep them from seen and unseen dangers. They go and lay their life out on the line for your people, Lord God. I ask you to cover them and their families right now, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, you put the military in my spirit this morning, the Army, the Navy, the Marines. Cover them all and their families, Lord God. The veterans that's home, Lord God, cover them and their families, Lord God. Heal and deliver them as well, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory, Lord God. Just like you laid your life down for each and every one of us, they go to battle for each and every one of us. So cover them. Keep them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Keep your arms around the military, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, and their families, Lord God, and the veterans, Lord God. Keep your arms around them, Lord God. Open up doors for them that can't no man close. Close doors that can't no man open. for the military and the veterans right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory, because this is the day the Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Traveling grace and mercy for all of your people as they travel for the holiday, Lord God. Keep them from seen and unseen danger. We plead the blood over airplanes, trains, buses, vehicles right now, Lord God. Dispatch their angels of protection right now in the name of Jesus. Because your word says you've given your angels charge over us. So we all have our individual angels for healing, delivering, peace, protection. Dispatch them in that right to the Boshata right now, Lord God. And we just say thank you. We thank you for covering all the hospitals all over the land. We thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders, Lord God. Thank you that you're healing those babies of cancer in St. Jude, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, let their parents be a testimony how you healed and delivered them from cancer, Lord God. Shrink those cancerous tumors, Lord God. Shrink that mass right now, God. That only you can do. All power is in your hands. And your word says, our soul should prosper, we should be in good health. So I thank you for health prosperity right now, manifestation for all your people that's sick in their bodies, God. Because the spirit of the living God can go where medicine can't go. The spirit of the living God can go where x-rays can't show. The spirit of the living God can go where doctors can't see. But Lord God, we speak to all sickness and diseases from A to Z, like you spoke to the fig tree. We curse it at the root in the mighty name of Jesus. We curse it at the root. It must dry up high over Shaka. And we just thank you for doing it right now, God. And we thank you for your blood. Your blood that you shed on Calvary for each and every one of us. So we can live and have our being in you, Lord God. You have no grandchildren. You have no great-grandchildren. You have no nieces or nephews. We all your children. You love us all equally. And we say thank you for loving us, Lord God. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins of omission, commission, mumbling, grumbling, and complaining. Because there's someone else somewhere else worse than we are. And we yet give you the praise and give you the glory. We have roof over our heads. Clothes on our back, food on our table, shoes on our feet. The homeless don't have anything but tents, Lord God. So we ask you to open up doors for the homeless all over the universe right now. In the name of Jesus, keep your arms around the homeless, Lord God, because you have the whole world in your hand, even the itty-bitty babies in your hand. All power is in your hand. So have your way this Monday night, hallelujah, 6th day of September, God. Have your way in every city, every state in the nation. Rule and reign in the name of Jesus, because it's all about you and not about us. And we come to cast all our cares, the world cares, on your shoulders. Your shoulders are quick to carry every burden and every weight. And we say, have your way. We lift up the visionary of this line and his entire family, God. Continuously keep your arms around him. Continuously pour back into him as he pour out to your people all over the land. In the mighty name of Jesus, strengthen his inner man right now, God. Continuously heal and deliver mom and dad Matthew, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, continuously heal baby Michael, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory. I lift up Rita that works behind the scenes faithfully. And her entire family. Keep your arms around them, God. Open up every door that needs to be opened. Close doors that need to be closed. I lift up Mother Sydney and her entire family to you tonight, God. Continuously heal and strengthen her daughter right now, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Great is our faithfulness, and you are very faithful. You're wonderful. You're amazing. So continue to keep your arms around Mother Sydney's daughter right now, God. Strengthen her, Lord God, that only you can do. Saturate her with your presence, God. Saturate Mother Sydney, Lord God. Continue to build her up, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, all her children and grandchildren right now, God. And we just say thank you for being our Father. Thank you for loving us, Lord God. When we didn't sometimes love ourselves, but you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So have your way on this line tonight. Saturate the nursing homes right now with your presence, Lord God. The assistant living, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, create miracles and signs and one in the nursing homes on tonight, Lord God. Saturate them with your presence, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory, because we are nothing without you. But we give you all things through Christ that strengthen us. So we say, have your way this awesome Monday night, Lord God. Heal and deliver and set your people free. In your precious Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We love you, we need you, we nothing without you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. We thank you and we bless you on this day, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, and we thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah. For all that you have done, Father God, glory, hallelujah. We thank you, God, for the things that you're doing right now, Father God, in the midst of your people, Father God. And Father God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, that you will move by your spirit for each and every person on this line. Father God, glory, hallelujah, that is under the sound of my voice. And Father God, I pray that you move for your people everywhere, Father God, all over the world. Oh, God, at this very moment in time, Father God, that you need them, Father God, right where they need you at, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Because, God, we know you're sitting high and you're looking low and you know everything. And nothing gets past you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. So we just thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah, for being the saving grace of your people, Father God, for being our strong tower, Father God, the righteous can run in and be safe in this hour, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, and we just want to give you praise and glory and honor. Oh, God, glory, hallelujah, because you've been so good to us, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, you've been faithful to us, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, even down through the years, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. You've been so faithful to us, Father God. Even when we were unfaithful, Father God, even when we are unfaithful, you remain the same, you're the rock of ages, and you never change, Father God. So we just want to thank you. We want to praise you on tonight, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And we thank you, God, for being able to come on this line one more time, Father God, and gather, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, and hear a word from you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And we just want to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We lifting up, Father God, glory, hallelujah, overseer Dr. LaRon Matthews on tonight, Father God, and we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, that you would strengthen him now, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that you would use him for your glory, oh God, glory, hallelujah. For such a time as this on this line, oh God, glory, hallelujah, and all of those that are listening in, Father God, glory, hallelujah, from the different regions of the world, Father God, glory, hallelujah, oh God, let no one come on this line and go off the same, Father God, glory, hallelujah, let them be forever changed, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, we praise you, God, and we thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, we just lifting up families all over the world tonight, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And we thank you, God, for restoring right now, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, for drawing them closer to you and closer to one another, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, we thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah, that you're endowing them with love right now, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, and all bickering and arguing must cease right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. Old feuds must cease right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. And we just give you the praise and give you the glory and give you the honor for even what you're doing for the children, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you, God, for covering them, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, as they go to and fro, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, as they go, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, back into the schools and the classrooms, Father God. Cover them in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. Cover the educators, schools, and universities, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. Glory, hallelujah. Keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger, and all sickness, Father God. Glory to your name, Father God. And we thank you that sickness is rising up right now, up off the people, and is being cast into the dry place right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. We're binding up that spirit of infirmity, and we command it to go at once, oh God. Glory, hallelujah. Every sickness known to man, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We're binding up that COVID, Father God. We send it to the dry place, oh God. All of the variants, Father God, corona, virus, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, that Delta variant, Father God. We send it back to dry places in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. And we thank you, God, for your people being healed right now, Father God. We thank you that the balm is healing right now and soothing right now. Every ache and pain is being eradicated right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. And we just want to praise you, God. We want to thank you, God, for what you're doing right now, for shifting this atmosphere, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And causing it to be conducive right now for blessing. Oh God, from miracles, signs, and wonders and deliverance, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. And we speak salvation, oh God, into the atmosphere for those that don't know you for themselves, Father God, that they will come to know you like never before in this hour, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh God, are we thanking you, God, for drawing back, oh God, those prodigal sons and daughters, oh God, those in the backslidden state, Father God, that you're drawing them back to you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And even as they come, Father God, and repent, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that you shall receive them with open arms, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, and deliver them from all unrighteousness, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. And we just want to bless you, God, for what you're doing right now amongst your people, Father God. We thank you for wealth portals being open right now, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you for finances being unleashed, Father God. We thank you, God, that you're meeting the needs, Father God. Whatever the need is, Father God, you already know it, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. You already knew it, Father God, even before the foundations of the world, before you laid out the blueprints for our lives, Father God. You already knew what we would experience and on what day we would experience it on, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. So you already have the answer, Father God, and we give you praise and glory, oh God, that your promises to your people are yes and amen. And Father God, we just speak, oh God, glory, hallelujah, over our governmental system, Father God. Move by your spirit now, oh God, glory, hallelujah. Do a new thing right now, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, eradicate every bit of corruption, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, expose every hidden thing, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. Glory, hallelujah. And, Father God, those laws and motions that are put in place that are not in favor for your people, Father God, veto them now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. Glory to your name, Father God. And, Father God, I come into agreement with the prayers, oh, God, for the military, Father God. Cover each military branch. Cover the families, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. And Father God, we're binding up hurricanes and, oh God, and tornadoes and all of these natural disasters right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we're binding up destruction right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. And we send it back to the dry place. And we just thank you, God, and we praise you, God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh God, help us, Father God, to keep on standing. Oh God, glory, hallelujah. Help us, Father God, not to give in the towel and throw in the towel in this hour, Father God, but to keep on standing, believing, oh God, and trusting you and hoping in you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. And we just thank you and we praise you, oh God, hallelujah, for what you're doing in the midst of your people, Father God. And Father God, we're binding up everything that's not like you, oh God, that would try, oh God, to come against your people in this hour, Father God. We're binding up interference on the line, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We're binding up, oh God, distractions, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. We're binding up, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Whispers, enchanters, Father God, spirits, Father God, glory, hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. And we lay and lock the lion lips of Lucifer in this hour, Father God, glory, hallelujah. And we're just giving you praise and glory, oh God, for victory, victory, victory on every hand, Father God, in every area of our lives. And we just thank you and we praise you that while we're yet speaking, you've already answered. Oh God, glory, hallelujah. Oh God, we bind up the backlash and retaliation because of all of these prayers and petitions, oh God. And Father God, bless the intercessors that shall come after me, Father God, tonight, Father God, and bless the one that went before me, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. And we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you on this evening, Lord God, hallelujah, for the women of God that has prayed. We ask that you restore their strength, oh God. We pray for all of those that are praying in the background, oh God. We praying right now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, for those that are to come, oh God, to pray. We ask right now, hallelujah, Lord, that your spirit have free control. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, let flesh decrease and let your spirit increase even the more. Lord, we're living in the hour and the season, oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord, that we must hear what your spirit is saying to us. Lord, God, to know how to be directed and guided. Oh, God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Not only, oh, God, that you move upon the military forces, oh, God, but you move upon the missionaries and the civilians, oh, God, that are innocent, Lord, that is in these desolate places, Lord, where rumors of wars and wars are breaking out, oh, God. We ask right now in the name of Jesus, even in those areas where in Louisiana and all Alabama and Mississippi and all those places where the hurricane has affected. God, we ask right now, hallelujah, be with those people, Lord God, those that are helping, oh God, with the devastation and the recovery. God, we ask, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, that you remember those, oh God, hallelujah, that you have called out from darkness into the marvelous light, Lord. Strengthen their minds, strengthen their spirit, oh God, because you told us in your word that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And Father, we cannot be up and down and all around, Lord God, but we have to look to you, Lord God, the author and the finish of our faith, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounded in your word, oh God, knowing that, hallelujah, Lord, that your word will accomplish that which it has been sent. And, oh, God, it will not return unto you void. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, that as we, Lord God, hallelujah, hear the instructions that come from the men and women of God, Lord God, that we will hide it in our heart and not, oh, God, sin against thee. Father, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, as we walk this straight and narrow way, help us to stay holy. Help us to fast. Help us to pray. Help us to stay in your word, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you right now, hallelujah, Lord, for those, oh God, even, oh God, hallelujah, those that it seems that they won't want to prosper, oh God, but they prospered in their own ways. But we thank you right now because we know that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And God, those, hallelujah, that is standing by, that is faithful, Lord God, you begin to open up the window of heaven, oh God, and pour out, not only, oh God, monetary, oh God, but, oh God, physical healing for the bodies and the minds and the spirit. Oh, God, salvation, oh, God. Lord, pour it out, oh, God, even the more, Lord. Bring in those family members here that is not saved. Lord, God, save them even the more. We thank and praise your name, oh, God, hallelujah, Lord, for those in the fivefold ministry. We thank you, oh, God, for the intercessors and the prayer warriors. We thank you for everyone in their respective places in the kingdom of God. And, Father, you know who they are. You know where they are. You know what you have called them to do. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that their heart will continue to be strengthened. Oh, God, I bless you and I magnify you even the more. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And how we thank you tonight. Oh, God, how we praise you on this conference line around the world. We Jesus, and we thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing, for the miracles, for the deliverance that's being manifest, for the holy anointing without measure of the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, Lord, we just want to praise you tonight that you have touched us, you have saved us by the divine blood of Jesus, and we are under the divine blood anointing and under the holy, only begotten Son of the living God. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus is seen and he alone is seen, felt and heard on this line tonight. And oh God, we thank you. Oh yes. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh, for yea, even I would say to the visionary of this line and the founder of this ministry, I have called you, thus saith the Lord, and I have anointed you, and this is your holy, sacred, miracle-appointed time. And the door that you're about to walk through, you have made the right decision, thus saith the Lord. And I will strengthen you, encourage you, and I will be with you, for I am your God, and I have called you to be my holy prophet. I will meet all of your needs, thus saith the Lord. Ooh, oh, hallelujah. And I see in the Holy Ghost and in the Spirit of the Lord, I see the big blue Jesus miracle star. And I thank you, Lord, that your holy prophet, Reverend Ernest Angley in Ohio, told me that when I see that big blue Jesus miracle star, miracles are happening. for the people. There's deliverance being manifest right now in every area, spirit, soul, mind, and body, every area of your life, and even financially, for the people of God and the saints of God on this line, thus saith the Lord, for the ministers, for the leaders, for the apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers and prayer warriors and Christian workers, the Lord said, there's a holy new anointing to do the work of God, to pray, to fast, and to live in my word, thus saith the Lord. And you will do what I've called you to do. And I am going to use you in the last day revival, thus saith the Lord. And it is coming, and it's coming soon. For what is happening in the earth even now will usher in the millennial reign of Christ and the people of God, and the war of Armageddon before the millennial reign, thus saith the Lord. But be not alarmed, be not dismayed, for my people shall be raptured out before the war of Armageddon, saith the Lord. But be faithful, for I have called you and I will protect you and anoint you with my divine blood anointing and keep you and meet every need, thus saith the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, tonight that you're touching the students that may be listening. You're blessing them and giving them Holy Ghost miracle favor. Now, Lord, bless Administrator Bryant and her family, Lord. And we ask you to bless her grandmother, Lord, her niece, and everyone, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you're keeping her and protecting her and that you are strengthening her and giving her your holy anointing to do the work of the Lord in this great ministry that you, Lord, have ordained. We thank you, Father God. We also thank you that you're touching Prophet LaRon Matthews and you're touching his family and strengthening his dad and mother, amen, Bishop Matthews and his mother. And Father God, we thank you for the entire family and for baby Michael being touched. We pray for Mother Sydney. You will touch her, Lord, and meet every need. Touch her daughter, bring healing and miracles to her family. We thank you on tonight. Oh, God, how we thank you. Oh, God, there is someone. Oh, Baba, hi. There is someone listening on tonight. That mountain must be removed. Yes, in Chicago. And thus saith the Lord, oh, that mountain has been removed, and you are healed, and you are delivered. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, thus saith the Lord. We thank you on tonight. We do give you all the honor and glory, Lord God. We command it, and we rebuke every devil that comes against the saints of God and the church of the living God in these last days. We thank you, Father, for the victory. Victory, victory. I hear the Lord saying everyone listening on this line needs to praise God for the victory, and it shall be manifest in your life in every area. Now, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We pray that the holy anointing without measure will fall upon this line even now, and that the remainder portion of this time you will move in such a greater miracle way. We thank you, Lord. We give you the honor and glory. We thank you that we had our day of prayer and fasting in our ministry with many greater miracle testimonies that have come forth since August 31st. Thank you, Lord. You took us down to camp meeting to preach for Kingdom Living Camp Meeting in Arkansas. Praise God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we give you all the honor and glory that we've been out in Arizona and back. And Father God, at Miracle Valley. Now, Lord, continue to use us in your ministry you've called us to that's based out of Pittsburgh, and we give you all the honor and glory. Lord, we know there are miracles. Oh, yes, miracles tonight. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' holy and mighty name, by the divine blood anointing. Amen and amen.
Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.WeRestoreU.org. That's WeRestoreU.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
Get ready for the ultimate conference. The ultimate conference. The Bridging the Gap and Birthing the Love Conference.
Bridging the Gap, Birthing the Love.
1 Thessalonians 5 and 11. It happens live September 18th and 19th, 2021. The Bridging the Gap and Birthing the Love Conference. Live at the Lifestyle Studio. The Lifestyle Studio. 5520 Walsham Road, number 102. San Antonio, Texas. Get ready for miracles to flow. This epic two-day event kicks off Saturday, September 18th from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. Sunday, September 19th from 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. Your dynamic guest speaker, Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Senior Pastor, Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry, Harvey, Illinois. Bridging the Gap and Birthing the Love, September 18th and 19th. Your illustrious hostess for this two-day event, Mrs. Gina Wright. Conference hotel accommodations are provided by the Holiday Inn Express and Suites San Antonio North, 8204 North IH-35, Windcrest, Texas. Call to make reservation at area code 210-654-3800. September 18th and 19th, 2021. Bridging the Gap and Birthing the Love. The Conference. Live at the Lifestyle Hair Studio in San Antonio, Texas. Start preparing now and make plans to be there. The best advice we can give you is to save the date. Save the date. October 29th through 31st, 2021. Save the date. The Family Values Conference 2021. And the birthday celebration for Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, PhD. The theme, God's Divine Grace, Rule and Reign. It kicks off October 29th, 2021 at 7 p.m. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry, 231 East 146th Street, Harvey, Illinois. Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Senior Pastor. October 30th, 2021. From 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. The formal birthday banquet. Tickets are $70. First Pentecost Assemblies International Church, 14559 South Green Street, Harvey, Illinois. October 31st, 2021 at 11 a.m. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry. Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Senior Pastor. To purchase your ticket, cash out. Hashtag Family Values 2021 or mail to RFPIM. Attention Family Values Conference, 231 East 146th Street, Harvey, Illinois. 60426. Conference Hotel, Even Hotel, and Tinley Park Convention Center, 18451 Convention Center Drive, Tinley Park, Illinois. Call them at 708-444-1100. 708-444-1100. Ask for the Family Values Conference Block. Deadline to book rooms, October 8th, 2021. Purchase your birthday at $25 business card, $50 half pay, $100 full pay. More information, contact Pastor Sandra Ganey at 910-506-8770. Sister Martisa Green at 708-825-1988. Administrator Brian at 334-440-6152 or email laronmatthewsministries@gmail.com. The Family Values Conference. Save the day. October 29th through 31st, 2021. You don't want to miss this. It's a celebration.
Depression that steals my voice, the confusion that arrests my life, so I can't even make a choice. Life seems so loud, I've been too proud. So Lord, what do I do? I just need a word from you. Oh, I need a word. Tell me which way to turn. I need a word. Tell me which way I should go. Life just darkened my day.
My family is in need, and I just can't seem to make a way. Oh, life seems so loud, and I've been too proud, but I'm asking you now, lost in the word from you. I need the word. Tell me which way. Tell me which way I should go. I need a word. Tell me what should I do, Lord. I need a word. I need a word from you. Drown out the noise. Let me hear your voice. Oh, Lord, I know I need a word from you. Hey, I can't. God, oh, stand still and believe you'll work it out. Oh, stand still and see my victory walk right in. Come with you, I will win. I need a word. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I need your word. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Drown out the noise. Let me hear your voice. I need a word from you.
Glory to God, and God bless you on this day. I want to personally welcome you today to another prophetic experience broadcast where the word of the Lord comes alive. And happy Labor Day to many of you all as well that are joining us. And we certainly thank God for each and every one of you all who have became part of the family of this prophetic conference. And I want to take this time to thank you all so diligently and so from the depths of my heart for all that you do and your commitment, your dedication, even during the holiday season, to join up on this day from whatever part of the United States and the world you apply your anointing to. Thank you for joining us on today. And I surely do not want you to know I don't take it lightly, the ministry gift that you are to the kingdom of God and to the body of Christ. I want to thank you so much. And for those men and women of God who are so faithful as it relates to your duty of praying, interceding, standing in the gap, teaching, ministering the word of God with such diligence in such a time as this, where warfare is horrendous and betrayal is almost like part of a daily dinner for some people. So I thank you all for your commitment and your dedication to the kingdom of God and the work that you do on this conference line and for the kingdom of God, because many of you don't have to do what you do, but because of your love for God and your dedication to the conference line and also your faithfulness and committed and covenant to our ministry, I thank you for your support today. And certainly on this day, if I never said it, thank you all so much for your diligence and your strength and your support and your help along the way. And even in your faithful giving, in spite of what goes on, I thank you for stepping out to say, I support the ministry and giving to help us do what we need to do. Because as I say, you don't have to do what you do, but I thank you for your diligence in being committed and faithful and doing what you do to help us. So thank you so much for your work, your labor, love, and your continued support to the work that we're doing. Amen. I want to shift real quickly, and I want to deal with this small verse of scripture because this is part of something that I'm driving home in the season with. I got a call yesterday. I had an opportunity to talk to one of my cousins, and immediately my cousin said to me, "Man, I hope these people heard and get vaccinated so we can end all of this sickness in the land." And I love my cousin dearly. I had to let him know if I could. Come on now. We did it in love. I said, no. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. And then he kind of shifted a little bit. He gave me a sad story, and I call it a sad story, but I want people to say it's not a sad story of the event that transpired with a person. But I said, well, let me ask the question concerning the health of the individual. I said, what transpired? Did they have pre-existing conditions? And he went through a list of all the stuff that they had going on in their body. He said, well, those are some of the contributing factors. But I said, there are some things in the world that we as believers and non-believers must understand. The Word of God said, I wish upon all things that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So it's time for men and women of God to take care of their health. Now, today is Labor Day. I rested the majority of the day. In the other part of the day, I did my regular routine of exercise, working out, exercise, breathing, 3.5 miles, taking care of my health. Get in the Bible, praise the Lord. I pray, praise the Lord. I speak in tongues, praise the Lord. I take care of your health. The believers must take care of your health. You have to. It's mandatory that you take care of your health. Your health is an essential message to you. It's a divine messenger. You go to the mall and buy all the dresses you want and say, ooh, I'm getting big, or fatty fat, ooh, these are a little big on me. No, take care of your health. And as I travel for the rest of the year minister, I'm talking to people and the believers about taking care of your health. Your health is important to you. Your health, your lungs, your breathing, your eating. Eat something green every day. If you get something green, vegetation every day. Take care of your health, body of believer. De-stress yourself. It's time we must take care of our body. High blood pressure, type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, sugar diabetes, sickness, bone disease, Crohn's disease, sarcoidosis, cancer, all of these things, food, substance, we must take care of our body as believers. If you can spend, women of God and men of God, if a brother can go and pay $35 or $40 to get a haircut, groom, dye color, be in shape, and not take care of his health, I got a problem with that. If a sister, you can go over there and get your hair done, and for 4 or 5 hours spend almost $300 sitting in a chair, $40 for the Chinese weave, and some go higher because it goes up to $100 for the hair, and all of those things, and not take care of your inner sanctum, that's not good. We must be able to take care of our body. Your body is your temple. You have to take care of it. It's essential. You have to take it with the stress that we are under, and especially ministry gift. Ministry gift. We'll spend more time sitting down trying to define a title instead of defining our health. We'll spend more time arguing over quotes in the scripture, what we should do in the scripture. The devil is a liar, and you eat everything that the devil give you in your mouth. It's time that the body, believers have to take care of their health. You can talk about your boss, your supervisor, the stress you're under, the pressure you're under. You can survive stress if you take care of your body. You can survive stress if you get up every day in the morning and set time to meditate and give God your time to get your health. Instead of letting stress cause you to eat obese, overweight, go in, go out, go up, go down. A lot of this stuff ain't generational. This ain't got nothing to do with generational stuff. This has something to do with the individual body. The individual body, you have to take care of that because it's a divine messenger. This body is your friend. It's the best friend you ever had, and you only get it once. But if you don't take care of it, your friend won't take care of you. You have to take care of your body, every organ. If your favorite pop is Coke, Pepsi, Diet Coke, Mint, you name it, you like it, Mountain Dew, you name it, all the other drinks, you need to get your body changed. If your body needs sugar, change your appetite. Because it's time to take care of ourselves. And too many people that I've saw have not taken care of their body. And your body talks to you at a certain age. Battle fatigue. Think, well, oh, I don't like water. I don't like water. 80% of your body is water. Your water and your body start connecting to the systems in your body. Your water and your body start feeding your body. It's important we take care of body. Millions of Americans today are eating greatly, enjoying their health food, from ribs to chicken, to Barack, Polish sausages and everything. That's fine. Take care of your body. You have to. It's mandatory that you take care of your body, especially in this time where the pandemic, the virus, and you name it, is rising to the occasion. These ancient spirits are not giving ground to anybody. But they want you to be stressed. They want you to be worried. Some people focus on more of a relationship with somebody that don't want you. Ooh, that just blew my mind. And then taking care of your body to take care of your own self. Some people are focused on foolishness in the world instead of taking care of themselves. Your health is essential. You must take care of your health. That body will talk to you. Ooh, my knee hurts. Well, if you don't bend it enough times, it's going to keep hurting. You have to take care of your health. The health is essential. Thanks to God, it is. All right, let's talk about the vision of the prophetic conference line. Verse out of the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 6, chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. He said, I will set upon my watch, I will set me upon the tower, and I will wait to see what the Lord was saying to me when I am made ready. That word in the actual Hebrew means when I am made ready. It's called reprove, but when I am made ready. He said, write the vision and make it plain upon table that they may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for a appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not die. Do it tarry, wait for it. For it will surely come to pass. His soul, which is not upright in him, is not upright. For the just shall live by faith. The vision of the prophetic conference line is to communicate the life of God to this people and change the world with one touch of the dialing of a phone, and to become a voice of healing, reconciliation, strength to a generation that have lost touch with church business as usual and are in need of kingdom leaders at heart that would allow them to become open to communicate their heart about any forces that will force them from seeing God as holy and as promised for the total person. The mission of this prophetic conference line is through teaching, training, prophesying, and activating the fight of God within us. The center, we're in the 10th year of our vision of this prophetic conference line, and I thank God for each and every one of you all who are connected with us and has helped support us as we take the word of God around the world globally to the lives of so many people. I bless the Lord for you. I thank God for my administrative staff there in Alabama, those that are connected with us. I thank God for spiritual sons and daughters who are connected with us. I bless the Lord for you all on today, and I don't take it lightly, your work and your commitment, your dedication to ministry and the work of ministry. I bless the Lord for you all on today. All right, tonight is open forum. However, in the middle of open forum, I'm going to pretty much take the case myself because I want to be done by 8:05. And I had a talk to someone I love very dearly, Mother Ellen Allen, and she was sharing with me, and she says to me today, or not necessarily today, we were talking, but it brought back to something she said to me. And then I saw it on one of her quotes today on Facebook, people remembering people and people giving and people sowing. And one of the things she said to me after the loss of Bishop Lance Allen, coming up on the anniversary this 2 months from now, she said, Lorraine, I want to share something with you that is, I want you to give thought to it. I want you to give thought to it. I said, okay, Mother, go for it. Let's go for it. And she was talking about after the loss of her husband, she said a lot of the people who were connected with him and connected with her, and she really introduced many of them to him. But he was more of an introvert type of person, even though he was publicly known around the world, he was more of an introvert type of a person. He only had select people in his actual inner circle. You can literally name them who were there. Now, in saying that, he was saying there are people, when it comes to giving, talk about tithes and offering, and this is, and for many people, this is controversial. For me, it ain't controversial. Giving ain't controversial. Tithing ain't controversial. Sowing ain't controversial. It's a person willing to do what's necessary to bless the kingdom of God. So nonetheless, we went on with the conversation, as you said. A lot of the people looked at your dad as a man who had money, he had all of these things, and he was a giver. I know he was a giver by himself because he would come to minister for me and come to minister for us. And he would come to minister for other people and be a blessing to them. He didn't carry a secret service team. He didn't carry bodyguards. He didn't carry all the high tech that everybody else took. He even blessed other people who brought in other people with them. And other churches paid for them to come, but he came alone because he wanted to make sure he did not tax the people. He was very fair with the people. And that's the type of person he was. He loved people. And he was genuinely the type of individual that believed in giving, because he learned it from his mother and from his background and where he came from. So anyway, he said, people that do not give, that does not tithe, that does not support the ministry, but they're there. And yes, Mother, go on. She said, what do you consider? What do you say? What do you do? They receive, they've been blessed, they give when they want to give, but then they don't give, then they give when they want to give, and then they don't give. He said, since your dad been gone, a lot of people stopped giving. The ministry must go on. I said, Mother, let me tell you something. If Dad Allen was here, people are going to be doing the same thing. When he was gone, it just proved to them how they feel, the bottom line. I, as a pastor, I'm a senior pastor of a church. I give to the ministry. I'm an example of giving to the ministry. Do people follow my example? Absolutely not. I'm an example of who I am. Do people follow my example? Absolutely not. Why? Because people are going to do what they want to do. That's what I told her. I said, now, listen to this, Mother. I said, in ministry, if you're giving to people and you're showing your love to people and you're supporting the people, you have a choice. You're either dealing with leeches, number one, and I'm not talking about people who don't give. Because if you look at the statistics of people who don't have, they spend the most. Study it. White America, Chinese do it, all of them. That's why they're in our community. because they know we're going to give to them and not our own. So I said, Mother, before you get frustrated, there are people who no matter what you do, they're not going to give because it's in their mind. It's a psychic in the mind of people. No matter what you do for them, they don't feel obligated to be a blessing. And you know why? And I'm going to be frank. Now, well, let me stop this. Let me say this right now. Because I want people to understand who know me personally, who's connected with me personally. Don't text me after this is over. Don't leave a statement to me after this is over. Because if you do, I'm going to bust you out. So I'm going to let you know that now. Now, if you say I'm not speaking to you, if it affects you, where? So I'm going to let you know that up front. So if you come to me and say, were you speaking to me? Yes, I was speaking to you. So don't come to me. I'm going to bust you out. So I'm going to let you know that up front now. So before you put it in your mind that you're going to try to put me in place, and I'm going to say this for church people who are in my local church, and don't come to the pulpit and make a statement because I'm going to open rebuke you in the pulpit, and I'm going to take the mic out of your hand. So I'm going to let you know that now because I want you to know I ain't playing now. This is serious business about getting. So I'm going to let you know that. So don't slide through the back door with me. And don't come around the corner with me and be sneaky. Bust you out. And your feelings going to be hurt, and I know it. So I'm going to let you know that. So let me continue on. Amen, Lorana. Now, so I told my mother, all the years of their giving and people giving, people know that man blessed them. People know they ate at his table. People know he was a minister to them. People know that man loved them. You don't have to preach it. You don't have to go to the pulpit and tell it. When people want to be a blessing to you, people will do it. You don't have to tell nobody that received from your husband and been blessed by the ministry, and he's gone and not bless you, Mother Ellen. You don't have to sit there because people going to do what they want to do. This is nothing new. I say, he didn't have to be gone. People going to do what they want to do. People going to buy what they want to buy, hear what they want to give. And as a matter of fact, people who don't give are the busiest people in ministry who have all the problems. Them are the ones who have all the problems who don't give. They don't believe in giving was in the Old Testament, okay? Committing fornication was in the Old Testament too. Committing adultery was in the Old Testament. Forgiveness was in the Old Testament. Lying was in the Old Testament. Stealing was in the Old Testament. Murder was in the Old Testament. So we only use certain things for certain scriptures. So I want to speak to the self-righteousness of people. The people say, well, I'm not fornicating. Good, praise God. I'm not committing. Well, praise God. But why you got all this anger? Why you treat other folks in the church the way you treat each other? See, we want that self-righteous spirit. And we got a lot of self-righteous people. How many minutes we got? We got 7 minutes. I'm going to be done. We're that self-righteous world. We want a platform, but we're not willing to do what it does to keep the platform solid. We have a world full of people. Well, I may not have it to give. You know what? I'm from a family of 18. My parents was on public assistance. I didn't have. But I tell you one thing. I gave for the kingdom. I gave. And you know what blows my mind? Here's what blows my mind about people. And then something. This is for the deep, self-righteous people. Well, I give to the homeless. Well, why you can't give to your own ministry? They're the one who helping you. You see the need of the ministry. Well, I give to this charity. Okay. And still help your own ministry. You still sit in the air conditioning, the heat, the weather, they enjoy the message, the benefit. They shovel the snow. They pay the insurance of the building to keep the light and gas on in the building. Okay. And your point is. What's your point? But you get all of the benefits of that kingdom and that ministry and that leader and the benefits of the ministry, but you don't want to sow into the ministry. You want them to pray, believe God, prophesy, minister the word, jump all over the world, do cartwheels, deal with your questions, deal with your stresses, deal with your issues, but you don't want to sow. But no, mother, that's absolutely not right. Unequivocally not right. Repeat. Why? Because people are going to do what they want to do. They're going to do what they want to do because that's it. There's a law of nature. What goes up must come down. The golden rule is do unto others as you would them do unto you. So when people don't do you right, ask yourself the question under the golden rule, what have you done to make people not do you right? Because there's a rule in the land. What goes around does come around. You reap what you sow. Now watch this. You reap what you sow. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. So there's a benefit to the law of nature, to the law of giving, to the law of everything. There's a law of principle. If I get up every morning and guarantee myself that I do 100 push-ups in a series of 20, and oftentimes go, then I'm going to take care of my body. If I get up every morning and say I drink 3 cups of tea every morning, 3 cups of tea, then I'm guaranteed to drink myself 3 cups of tea and to clean my esophagus and lungs out. Then I made a commitment to my lungs and my health that I'm going to drink and take care of the nourishment. If I get up every morning and say that I'm going to 3.5 now and I'm going to shut my phone down, not be interrupted by anybody, I'll talk to a few people, but when I say I'm doing my exercise, oh, can I say one more thing? I'm doing my exercise. Well, when you get a chance, I'm doing my exercise. Well, I'm doing my exercise. Point blank, I'm doing my exercise. That means I'm done. My health is important to me. If I speak negative energies and negative spirits and negative things, then that what's in me is negative. I said, mother, that's what you expect. That's what you expect from people. Because you have, and you have to deal with people who are false flaggers. The church world call it false humility. The world call it false flaggers. They false, but flag it like they're with you. You're going to have to deal with that. False flag it. How many minutes you got? 3 minutes. Let me try to take it in. In the body. So it's important that people understand the law of the nature. Forgetting. Someone said something to me the other day, really, really blessed me. And you know, I think people look at, now this is what they said. The person told me personally, Father Matthew. So you know what? I think people look at you that you get it all together. I said, I do in God. I do in God. Look at somebody like that. He do in God. You do in God. I said, I do in God. And I trust God. But what people don't understand is that what pain costs me, what pressure costs me, what study costs me, what sacrifice costs me, what giving of myself costs me, the things that I went through that cost me. See, yes, I know what they may say, and the naysayers and the gainsayers, but they don't know what it cost you to be where you at, to do what you did. They don't know what it cost you, Evangelist Wilkes, to get up at 6 in the morning or 5 in the morning and 10 years ago and preach the conference line every single day for 400 and some days, then get on the airplane, jump off a plane, go preach a message. Get up the next morning, be in California when it's 3 a.m. in the morning, 5 a.m. here, and you have to preach the night before that and do that. See, they don't see all of the things you have to sacrifice. What they see is the now. They don't see the then. It's a message called the now and the then. People see the now. They didn't see the then, Apostle Simmons. So they don't see what you came from. They see the now. And they judge you based upon the now. But if they saw you in the then, they wouldn't want to hang with you. They wouldn't want to be with you. They wouldn't want to connect with you. They wouldn't have a relationship with you. They see the now, but they didn't see the then. So they judge you based upon the now and not the then. See, the now is totally different than the then. See, they see the now, but they didn't see the then. It's easy to look and see what, I'll speak for myself, I'm doing. But to step in the shoes, you cannot do it. But see, I can't step in your shoes. When you have to get up every morning, every three between my prayer word that I pray, but every morning at that time, like clockwork, 365 days of the week, no matter where you are in the city of the United States of America, I still do it and pray. Everybody can't do that. If they could talk about it, but they can't do it. When God wakes you up, clockwork, boom, get up, pray, do this, boom, boom, you got to do it. 365 days. And I said, oh, man. Slide out of that bed. You know how somebody talk about slide out of the bed. Take it off a little bit. Take a deep breath. Turn over. Father God, in the name of Jesus, your turn. And then while you pray with your prayer partner, you know that prayer you see, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Pray, Father. Oh, yeah. You were asleep. Oh, was I asleep? Okay. You did that kind of prayer. You haven't prayed that one with your partner? You pray like that. And then when it was their turn, Father God, in the name of Jesus, cover that. And then say, partner. Okay, you got to hang up the phone. You got to pray by yourself. That's the kind of prayer. You ever been there? I know y'all been there. How many minutes we got? Oh, we just went over time. 1 minute over time. All right, I'm going to spend it 5 more minutes. But to understand it, be able to. Hey, glory. To be able to do it. And get out of the anointing. But be able to do it. And then you have to get up in the morning and deal with the domestic issues of life and pray and believe God and do what we have to do. It's a tough time. I'm going to end on this, and then definitely I'm going to be for sure. There was a person inboxed me, and they asked a question. They said, well, Father Matthew, you know, I want to ask a question. You know, I every now and then I go to messages, but I know I get it. You know when I know Apostle Simmons and people who have my phone number, but they ain't going to reach me on my phone number. They go to my messenger and say, oh, I left a message for you on messenger. Really, because they're trying to play games with me, because they really don't want to deal with me if I text them. So they'll go to messenger, and that's for free for those who do that to me on here who got my number personally, but they'll go to messenger on me. Because they'll go to messenger and say, oh, I left a message for you on messenger. Come on, don't play games. See, I call people out. Don't play games with me. You have my phone number. Yeah, but I saw the green light on there. What does green light got to do with me? What does green light got to do with you having my number? What does green light have to do with my number? You have my personal number. What is the green light looking at that? My I stay logged on all the time. What is the green light? But I just thought, you know what? You full of game. I holler. Such you be say, Father Master say, I holler. No, I holler. No. Because we ain't gonna play the game. I holler. Because I holler. So you know why? Because I'm as a matter of fact, this is free. I've been in the world. I've been saved. I love the Lord. But gain recognize former gain. Former gain recognize gain. So when I came over to this side of ministry, I still recognize the game people play. So just because I'm saved, don't think I don't understand the game of what people play. Just thought I'd put that out there for people who like to play the game. You got a lot of people who want to play the game. But anyway, so they inboxed me. They said, well, I noticed when you on the carpet line, you always pick up an offering. I let them ask their question. I said, okay. It was a male who sent the message. So I said, can I ask a question? This is a wise man. I said, yes. I said, are you married? Yes. Are you married? Okay. You have a family? Yes. I said, are you working? No. And then I said, that's why you have a problem not tithing. But see, I didn't go there yet. Say, how long you been married?
Oh, 9 years.
Hey. I said, your wife worked?
Yes.
How many children you got?
4.
Oh. Hey. I said, so can I ask you a question? Well, is there a problem with you asking about giving?
Well, I believe that a person should have the right to give. I said, yes.
I said, I don't force people to give. Do you have any for?
No, but I use it.
I said, can I ask you another question? Who's providing for you? Who's the sole provider? Now, I'm watching the time on the clock. I'm watching the time as we text and messenger. I'm going through the message. Now, this is for free to everybody. He might be listening in tonight because I told him I'm gonna come on. I said, he didn't respond back. He said, well, right now my wife is the one that's providing. I said, okay. I said, the Bible said man that don't work don't eat, though. I said, it's wrong down coming. Well, I've been, you know, I lost my job. I said, okay, but the Bible said man that don't work don't eat. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you watch me on Facebook, yeah. I said, your concern is tithing. Is there any other concern you have with the word of God that I minister on? No, I said, let me ask you another question. I said, do you sow into the ministry? No, but my wife do. I said, there's the answer. Because his wife decided to sow a seed, it bothered him. The thing of giving people of God, sometimes that wife might be sowing a seed for that husband, her family. I said, do you both of y'all listen? Yeah, we listen attentively. Okay. So it was important for him to ask me a question about giving. I went slow through a process. Now, for somebody, that's a little rough. Right? That's the reality. See, the problem is, what people don't want to minister to Brian, they want to ask questions. They want to ask me questions, but the answer that they want, they ain't gonna like it. See, that's why you get a lot of people ask questions to me, but if I get them asked, now it offends them. Because, you know, I can see a lot of people offended right now. Y'all gonna get over it. You're gonna get over it. Or go to God. I tell people, just go to God. Or ask the Holy Ghost. Why? Because when you ask in a question, you have to be ready for the wisdom of God that he gives me about that. So you have children, wife. Now, don't get me wrong, people have struggled with job, but 9 years, he's a full provider of ministry of the entire household. Doing all the work, everything works. Do you do anything else? Well, I've been looking for a job. Okay. Go. So we're texting back and forth. You go to school? No, why don't you consider going to school? Go back to school. I thought about it. Okay. But you see how people will spend more time sweeping around your door, but they will not sweep around their own door. They'll sweep around your life, but they won't sweep around their own life. We have a ministry in Sierra Leone. That's West Africa, Sierra Leone. We have a ministry, and Sierra Leone has 14 other ministries under them. So actually, Sierra Leone plus the 14 ministries under there. We support them. We have our local church, Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministry, that support it. We support our church. We have other ministries that we support around the world, around the United States. We help support. And we give. The ministry.
for giving it. And we support other ministries. So the other ministries around us, we support them. We give. Then we preach the word of God. We have two radio broadcasts that comes on twice a week, local twice a week, Tuesday night and Saturday. We support that. That costs money. We used to have Preach the Word Worldwide Network where we were live on it. We were there. Cost money. We got our lights on. We keep the air conditioning on in the building so it can stay at a certain temperature in the building. We pay insurance for that building and the land we own. Follow me. All of these things, the benefits of all of the things we get. We got a number of things. Okay. All right. I got it. Okay. Thank you. So we're given. I do charity work. I come back and bless ministry that I travel to. I'm just a giver. So I give people, now listen to this, I give people an opportunity to bless the ministry. And I'm not talking about the number of people we actually sold into because their family didn't have money for funeral. Their family didn't have the need for other things. We give. We first respond. Matter of fact, we are first responder in our ability to give to people. We are first responder in our ability to give to people. We're first responders. A lot of times we don't even assess the situation. We're first responder ministry. When people say, well, Brother Matthew, this, because most of the time we're giving is not for public people. It's for private pain. And we don't do things publicly, but we give. For the record, we are a giving ministry. Now, if I take our local church off the table and I say, Lorraine Matthews, I'm a giver, period. That's just me. I don't have to get down on my knees and pray. I don't have to sit down and do 40 cartwheels and pray and speak in tongues. I'm a giver, period. That's my life of giving. That's the way I am. I don't have to do it publicly. I don't have to do it privately. I don't have to do it on the stage. I don't have to do it. I'm a giver because that's my life. So I learned to do that. And that's me. So for the man with the inbox, well, I give people opportunity to sow. Matter of fact, I give people opportunity to sow into the oil on my life. I give you an opportunity to be a blessing to my life because I'm a blessing to you. I used to didn't say that in my life, but I give people opportunity that if you want to be a blessing to the ministry, you can. You want to be a blessing to me personally, you can do that because this is the life I live. It's like you. If you're blessing me, if I see the anointing on your life, I'm sowing into your life personally because what you've done, you've blessed me. So I turn around and say, let me bless you. You bless me. I want to be a blessing to you. And I don't want people to hinder, I don't want you to hinder your own blessing. So I bless you. Man, God told me, well, you don't have to do that. Yes, I do. It ain't got nothing to do with you. And when people say that, that's what they call, that's called false humility. That's pride. When people bless me, I said, thank you. You heard from the Lord. You heard from the Lord. Thank you. You know why? Because they understand the power of breaker's anointing, the power of the seed that goes into the ground to bless. One year we had somebody that, and I can go off on a limb to share this because this is helping somebody else. And I told people that I've been working 1 year. I specifically told the people. I said, and it was, I don't know what year that was, administrative mind, but nonetheless, I'll share with it anyway. I told the people that whole year, don't buy me no clothes. Then I tell doctor, don't get no popping around in no car. Now don't go get me no clothes. I told you, don't go get me no socks. Don't go get me no tie. But guess what? Somebody decided to give me some clothes. Now, this was in a big conference. Everybody knew that the conference would have been over because of that. And even the person that gave me the gift knew. Why? Because of disrespect. That's what disrespect it was. Because they going to do what they want to do. And they was told and warned. You know why? Because people, they will disrespect you and do what they want to do. But look at somebody said, not me. Not me. They will not I don't care where public you are, you will not disrespect me. If I respect you, you will not disrespect me. That's hands down. No matter who you are, if I don't disrespect you, you will not disrespect me. Whether through deception, practices, manipulation, deceiving, your little underturning, falsehood, you will not disrespect me. Because you got people who master learning how to disrespect people and getting what they want. So they knew that this is the way they're going to do it. So guess what we did? We kindly took the gift and took the receipt and kindly took it back to the store. And I took one of my assistants and I took it back to the store. Now, people might have been, why you say that? Because that's the way I am. This book chapter is open. All right, what we got? 22 after? We got to break it out. We got to shut down. All right, giving. So after I shared it with Mother and I felt her pain, I said, you know, Mother, what do you recommend? So tell me. I said, what do you do? I said, Mother, when people do that, What do you do? You should tell me, what would you do? Well, Ryan, you know, you got a beautiful little boy. Well, Ryan, she don't call me no prophetess. Well, Ryan, I said, Mother, here's the reality. If you're blessing people and people don't bless you back, and you release them. That's all you can do. And the reason being, Mother, because some people won't do anything until you ask them because they want you to beg them to do things. I said, if people truly love you and love dead, like they say, when one leaves, the oneness never goes away. You still one. And people still be able to bless you, even as a widower. And she blessed. I said, some people won't give, period. But they want all the benefit of all of you. They won't give, period. So the guy in the message, the guy who messaged me on Facebook, he messaged me back. He said, I didn't look at it like that. That do make sense. Now, after I said that, and I guess it made him think about, see, you are married 9 years, your children, wife. And he said, I didn't think about that. Why? Because you know why? Some people are scared to address people when they tell them something. See, people tell you something about yourself, but you're afraid to go back and tell them about themselves. Because you think, well, it's a tick for tack. It ain't tick for tack. Because what goes around, come around. If you feel you can correct me and tell me something, I feel I should correct you and tell you something. I feel like I have the right to tell you that. I should say, okay, if you're correcting me and helping me out, that's good. If you have the audacity goal to be able to ask me a question, I should have the audacity love to tell you, ask you the question. That's all I'm saying. It is. Amen. 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 That's the truth. That's the truth before the Lord. And I'm not telling nobody to give from their ministry absolutely unequivocally. I don't tell anybody to do that. No. That's just not me. I wouldn't do that. Dude, I don't tell people this. I give people opportunity if they want to be a blessing. If it's a blessing, man, I'm giving you opportunity to bless. You want to be the man? Thank you. Bless the Lord. I give you opportunity. Give you opportunity to bless. I don't do that grandstanding stuff. I don't do that. The Lord says such and such, and then people come behind you and say, well, the Lord said, the Lord told me to do this. Well, what the Lord told you to give more? Then do it. See, I don't grandstand like that. I stick with what I say and go with what I do. And that's it. That. Amen. All right, people of God, we bless you all on tonight. We thank God for you all joining us. So if you're a member of a church, tie to your minister, tie to your leader, tie to the man and woman. God. If you've been blessed and you love them, you say you love them, you say they're your leader, you say that they feeding you, they're great anointed people, tie to them. Don't wait for an anniversary, birthday, a celebration, and get up there and give your famous speech, but you won't give your famous dollar, George Washington, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Benjamin Franklin, Lincoln, Hamilton, Jackson, Grant. Those are the ones, you know. Everybody won't give Washington. They sure won't give that Franklin or the Grant. Every now and then, Jackson will show up. But just show into the moon and the moon is a very powerful thing in the kingdom of God. It's in paramount. The power. All right, I went over my time, but I blessed the Lord. So I shared it with mother, and I told her, I said, mother, don't cry. Don't weep over that. Her husband's been good to a lot of people, and people owe him, and they bless. And guess what? God will deal with them. That's why I tell people all the time, God will deal with folks. People who say they're going to do something, God will deal with them. He can deal with them. You ain't got to go to people. Gotta deal with. Believe me, gotta deal with people. He deal with a whole lot of people. He deal with a whole lot of people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Minister Richard Bryant, any final questions or comments over there? If anybody want to say something real quickly, I will give you a minute to come in very quickly. If you want to come in, hit star 6 and come on in and ask your question. Minister Bryant, somebody on the blog talk, you can put in the blog talk question in. If you're listening in right now, you can hit star 6 and come on in right now. Minister Brian, if you have something you need to share with the people, God, you can share that now too. Amen.
Amen.
Did I say that wrong? Did I say that quickly? Come on in.
God bless you, Prophet Matthews. God bless everyone that's listening in on the line. It's ironic that you're speaking on tithing because there was a question that came in reference to that on tonight. And it was really a statement. When we tithe, we are simply giving back to God a portion of what is already His. If you're not tithing yet or only making small offerings to your church, pray to God for guidance. Are you afraid you won't have enough to support your own family after tithing? Pray. No matter your current reason for not tithing, pray to God and He will hear you. Remember the words of our precious Savior who didn't even have a place to rest His head, Matthew 8:20. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brethren and sisters of mine, you did it for me. It may be also worthwhile to have I chat with your church leader and ask them what they use the tithes and offering for. They should be able to give you all the answers that you need. And we have another statement here that says, the, in my opinion, most important reason is why we should tithe is that we're giving back to God what already belongs to him. I appreciate that, man of God, this word, man of God, because for a long time, I didn't tithe, but when I started, God started opening up the windows of heaven. God bless you, man of God.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Minister. Anyone have a question? A question for me tonight? Now, yesterday I shared something about the treasure chest, and I did a little study on different diamonds and different precious stones and different things that blessed a lot of people. I actually had to go back and listen to what I shared. I'm like, man, it really blessed me. So I went down, and then when I looked at each of those stones, I began to study each stone, the moonstone, the ancient Roman stone, believe that it's the shimmering rock that developed from folding moonlight and give it the name, the moonstone. And I kind of broke some things down. I looked at the different stones and what they mean. And as I was sharing things with that, God would be just beginning to give me revelation of God doing some of them. The Morganite with the dazzling, radiant color, beautiful, clear pink, peach, hot fuchsia. It is surprisingly, it is referred to as the rock of divine love. It's a powerful rock. These are beautiful treasures. I'm talking about beautiful and the expensiveness of it. You know, I was looking at just the different value of the onyx, how precious the onyx is. When the onyx, you think of the onyx today, it's often a preface word for the block distinguishes from other cities. Selection of the onyx, the treasure that comes in white, reddish, brownish, group. You know, I just kind of, I start messing with stuff when I start teaching. And then I connected to the human treasure chest of the human life, the body, the opal. In old times, the opal was known as the queen gem because it included the colors of all the other gems. Each opal is unique as a fingerprint. Some choose and the calming flashing in the blue green, others like the brilliant red and yellow, which is rainbow color as turn of the moon, the opal, the color plays and moon offer you a treasure that can be worn in a plethora of symbols. It's just talking about the queen of the gems, all that stuff, just breaking it down, talk about the value of that stuff. Man, you look at it, and people don't understand the value of gem and its wealth and the precious gem and its meaning and how much these things are valuable to people. Because when you don't understand value, you don't understand. You got to look at yourself as a treasure chest. You got to understand your value. I will pick up next actually 2 weeks from now on the third Monday because I wanted to share something with the people concerning the wards and how it's personal because it came from family, but how people they'll find negativity in everything that you do. Even some tonight, somebody just found negativity in what I said tonight. But you know what? When you free, negative vibes don't take the energy from me and make you examine yourself. If I go to the restaurant and eat a four-course meal, do you think I leave for free? Absolutely not. I'll be arrested. Now, you take that and turn it around and look at how many people eat free meals in churches all the time. I'm just throwing that out there. All right, anyone got a question or comment for me or Minister Lisa Bryan before we end tonight? Star 6 to come in.
Hello, Prophet.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Prophet. It's Bishop Matt Gio. It's been a while since I got to talk to you. How you doing?
Great, sir. It's such a pleasure and honor. Yes.
It's a pleasure and honor to talk to you. Doing real good. Keeping going in my ministry, of course. And I do appreciate your comments. I really appreciate your comments, which are really good biblical scriptural teaching on giving on holy tithes and on vows and pledges and alms. I believe that God's people need to release their funds into the kingdom and to those in need, and the Lord's going to reward them. As a matter of fact, I felt in my spirit that I wanted to tell the people on the conference line tonight prophetically, God, just breathed into my spirit that those that will give at least a $50 or $100 vow unto the Lord to the ministry there on the conference line, the Lord is going to provide many miracles and intervention. And the Lord, that's thus saith the Lord. And I just wanted to give that out tonight. And I believe you should be hearing from people if they're obedient. And the Lord's going to bless their obedience. And greater miracles that they're expecting is going to explode if they'll do this at this time of this holy season of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, glory to God. We are really in a holy, sacred miracle season. Amen. So I hope that they will be obedient because this is their time. The Lord has given them an opportunity to see miracle, greater miracle breakthrough. So that's really all I wanted to say. I don't want to take up any time, but I thank you for allowing me to call in tonight. God bless you.
God bless you, too. And, Bishop, thank you so much for your obedience to the Spirit of the Lord God. And I thank you for the leading of God. God led you to pray that. Thank you. Thank you for your obedience. It's been a while since we talked, and we bless the Lord. I know that you've been doing ministry gratefully around the United States and ministering to people of God. And so it's an honor to have you on with us tonight. And I bless the Lord for you. And thank you for your obedience. And those who are listening in, the prophet of the Lord, Bishop Matthew, made a prophetic declaration. He said the Lord spoke to his spirit to do so. And if you believe in the power of God and you heard what the Lord said through this servant, not through Prophet Matthew, but through the servant of the Lord God, we want to give you an opportunity to do that and be a blessing. And you can do that by going to our Cash App. We have a Cash App Money Sign, R-F-P-I-M. That's Cash App Money Sign, R-I-M. You can do it via our website. You can go to our website at We Restore You. That's the letter U in the alphabet, .org, and click on the donation button. You can also do it through the Zelle system. We have Zelle at We Restore You. The letter U at yahoo.com. Amen. We restore you. W-E-R-E-S-T-O-R-E. The letter U at yahoo.com. And be a blessing. We thank you so much in advance. Those who heard the word of the Lord came from the prophet of the Lord tonight and believe in God through this vessel that God has spoken and is sowing. We bless the Lord in advance for your seed. Amen. And I thank you, Mr. Magneto, for your obedience and sensitivity to do that. And once the broadcast is over, I'm going to reach out to you because there's something I want to do for you, sir.
Okay. All right. I look forward to hearing from you. And there's another thing I need to say because I'm going to be obedient to God. I didn't want to stay on too long, but I have to obey God. And I appreciate you giving me that liberty. I just want to say that because I know you're on time here, and I don't want to take advantage of nothing, but I want to be obedient to God to be a further blessing to the saints of God, the people of God listening tonight. Now, many of you know the voice of God, and there are some of you the Lord is speaking to even now that you can do even more than $50 or $100. You must be obedient to God, and that breakthrough, God's already showing you that what the Lord showed me is right. So please do what the Lord is dealing with your heart to do, and I guarantee you, you will not be sorry. The Lord's going to move for you, even on tonight, and I see a 48-hour miracle for most of you that are going to really get in on this. So it's thus saith the Lord, and I'm happy to deliver that. And with that, I just thank God, and I'm looking to hear good news that you did it and that you are blessed with a miracle. This is a holy, sacred, miracle-appointed season, as I was talking about the wonderful events that are taking place in September. So God bless you all, and God bless you, Prophet Matthews. You've been a wonderful encouragement to me, and I thank you for your prayers and your love. And, you know, you are a true man of God, and there are people that love you all over the world, and we thank God that God called you. God called you and put you in the ministry that you have, and only you can do it. Only you can be the visionary there because, see, you have the holy anointing, the gifts and the talents and the ability that and the uniqueness that God has given you. And I believe God's doing that with every true ministry now. He has done that and will continue to do it. But you are stationed where you're at, and you're doing the work that you are called to do, and you've been faithful, and that's why you're being blessed. And you will go through that door that the Lord showed me about earlier, and you did make the right decision. Praise God. Amen.
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 I receive that.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. And I thank God for you and for all the wonderful partners you have and the beautiful, wonderful staff you have, and Administrator Bryant. Oh, my, what a blessing she is, encouragement. And thank God for everybody that's all the leaders, the ministers that are connected with the ministry. Thank God for the divine connection. And I'm so glad to be a part of that divine connection. Me and my wife, the First Lady, Sister Pam, we pray for you and we love you all. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you too, Bishop, and thank you so much.
All right.
We don't
thank you. I'll be looking forward.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be looking forward to hearing from you later. God bless you. Thank you. Good night.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Anyway. All right. Thank you, God. We're going to go off with the song by Bishop
Great
Van Talen. God bless you, woman of God. Bless you on tonight.
Amen. We just want to say, man of God, thank you all so much. We honor the Lord for you all praying for us and keeping South Carolina lifted these last 3 weeks in your prayers. We just want to say thank you so much. And we ask you just to continue to keep the family and us in your prayers continuously. But thank you so much for you all, for your prayers and your sensitivity to hear us here in South Carolina. God bless you and thank you again.
Pastor Danny, we thank God for you as well. The woman of God was your administrator for your ministry there, and the work that it takes to do what you all doing there, and especially the other duties that you're taking on, is a horrendous responsibility. So I thank God for your presence and what you're doing there, and the strength that you've given to so many people, because one of the things people don't understand, and I experienced it as a pastor, when you have to deal with family and loved ones and children and people in ministry, especially, and I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm just speaking generally as a pastor when it comes to funeralizing people. When you have to deal with funeralizing people and in a pandemic like this, and people want to be involved, and people can't go, and the stress of ministry, and there's issues in families, and battles within, and warfare going on, and to do a funeral, and look at the mind of the people, and the stress you under, and the pain you have to deal with, and all of the stuff that comes with ministry, and I was sharing with one of my colleagues, doing a funeral, I get to the funeral, their family wanted somebody to do the funeral, and then another family wanted me to do the funeral, had me on the program to do the funeral, and told me, you're not going to do the funeral. We got our speaker that's going to do the funeral. I was very generous. See, that's what people don't understand. And families across the aisle battling, and I went up to the gentleman that's going to preach, I mean, that the family member, and I said to him, kind sir, I'm supporting you. I said, whatever you need me to do, I'm here. I know I was told that was for the priest, but I understand that the family said, you're going to be the speaker. I yield. I said, I have no problem. I said, this is family. I understand. Whatever you need me to do, I'm supporting you 100%. He said, you know something, man of God? He said, wow. He said, yeah, I'm supporting you. Said, whatever you need me to do, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And I served him while he preached. Because I've learned that when you have to deal with stuff like that, you don't need anything else but God. Because it takes God to do what we do. Especially with funeral. When somebody battling over steal somebody who stole somebody out of the house, a mama house. Man, I've dealt some funeral. And then you get a 3-minute remark. And a family member took the 3-minute remarks and threw a dagger at the other family member in there and said, I know mama gave me a ring, but don't worry about it. I know I'm going to get that ring before we leave here today. I mean, I'm talking about literally. So I understand ministry.
penalizing people and doing what we have to do and dealing with leaders. You give them 3 minutes, and they get up there and do five. You got people want to do a mini sermon right in the middle of the funeral. So you only got three minutes. And they preach their mini sermon. That's their first sermon. So in saying that, believe me, I understand the stress of penalizing people that are close to you, that are connected to you. Then you got people that'll make a family member because you're mad at them go to hell in a funeral. So it's all kinds of things that are going in the funeral. So the stress of this that we do, the stress, I had a mother literally told me at the funeral, she said, I tell you this, young man, I'll be glad when this funeral is over. She said, I lost her son, but she was so glad when the funeral was over because she had to deal with all the baby mama in the funeral because one of them didn't put the name of the father, didn't put the baby name on there, the mother. It was just ridiculous. So I understand what the pressure of doing what we do.
Yes.
And the give of ourselves. And the wife didn't have a problem putting the name of the ex-girlfriend, but she said she wasn't married to her. She just put the children. So, yeah, I'm telling you. So the stuff we deal with in ministry, people couldn't do that. They see what we do is preach. They see what we do is lay hands and do what we do, and that's a lie. Funerals are one of the most challenging part of ministry.
Yeah.
It's tougher than doing a revival. And I've been there. Oh, yeah.
Yes, man of God. It was so amazing, I'm telling you. It was like I've experienced things in life, but this last 3 weeks has been nothing ever like ever I've experienced. It's sort of like 3 years was crammed into 3 weeks. And I'm telling you, the emotion, the pain, the letdown, the disappointment, the trusting God and having faith that the person's going to make it. I'm telling you, then in the midst of it, people are pulling on you and they're hurting and they're paining and they're not realizing that you are a human being. Because like you said, this individual was not just an administrator. She, you know, you can attest to this, even as you're with your administrators, you deal with these people, you talk to them every day. How many times a day, you know what I'm saying? And so I can honestly say miraculously, she was not just an administrator. She was my friend. I was her pastor. And I thought it could never happen, Prophet, where we could separate the two. But I was this girl, Miss Sister Mildred Renissa Swinney, it was proven that she would allow me to pastor her and correct her, but yet still be her friend. I've never experienced nothing like it. So, again, like you say, people don't understand that we are human, you know. So me comforting everybody else, I was, like, trying to find times in between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. I would go, I would grieve. I would grieve. You know, you have to find times in there, like, okay, I'm strong for everybody else, but I had to have letdown moments, too. I would explode.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So I thank you for sharing that, and I would just say that people, like you say, they don't know.
Yeah, and that's why you see all those calls I've been giving you too. But see, people, I know what it is as a leader to deal with that. See, and let me tell you something, people. About the painful thing as a leader is to be able to answer a sinner's question from a family member. We pray, why couldn't your God save my mama? Why couldn't your God save my cousin? Why couldn't your God save my auntie? And these are the answers that we have to bring to people. So when you preach and you deal with all this foolishness with these people around here, you know, you got to deal with the foolishness and somebody from the world, and then you have to take that home with you and sit down, and you have to go to God. And then you kind of explain to them, what did my mama do? She was faithful to your ministry. She was dedicated. She shouldn't have left you. You got to deal with stuff like this. And these are real things. You know, matter of fact, this is a topic right now. This is a topic right now for a lot of pastors around the world globally. But see, the world is asking the question.
They
if
are.
God is who he says he is right now, why has he let all of these people die? See, this is the pressure that people don't talk about on the public perspective. Mm-hmm. We talk about it in a private room. See, the Lord did it. And I know we got some of you religious people, so shut up. I can hear you in the background running your mouth, so be quiet. That's why you ain't got the platform. I can hear your mouth right now. That's why, God, let me read people's thoughts. We know what COVID is and who all behind it. We ain't talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about sinners who don't understand what we understand.
Right.
I ain't talking about all that stuff. Don't go deep with me. I ain't talking to you, woman. I'm talking to who's sitting in the background, because you got a lot of peanut gallery people coming to the conference, man. They peanut gallery. They just sit in the peanut gallery giving their little statements in the background, and they don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who ain't saved. They ain't professing. They ain't living it. But they still are human, and they're asking you questions, and guess what? You got to give them answers to it.
Yeah.
And your speaking in tongues ain't working right there. You got to give them bona fide answers, because they want to know. Because they were believing the God that you serve too.
Yeah.
That he's going to move. And these are real questions.
Yeah.
I know we got a lot of religious people. Yeah, I don't move me. I ain't scared of people. I told them, one thing about me, I ain't scared of nobody. You don't make me jump. Your great behind the scene turn, that I don't move me. I'm not moved by that. I graduated from disingenuous people and false humility and deceivers and those who behind the scene they publicly anointed, but behind the scene got all these unforgiveness in them.
Mm-hmm.
They trying to act like they so righteous, but they holding all that unforgiveness. They got stuff against everybody. And then they talking about they going to heaven. No, you going to hell. Ain't that what you telling everybody else? But you holding unforgiveness. You harboring unforgiveness. You won't let it go. Come on. Don't go. Don't get me going tonight. I told you my time's up. But anyway,
yes,
bless you, woman of God. We're praying for
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
We surely is.
Yes.
We're praying for you.
Yes, sir. I honestly felt the prayers. And, man of God, one of the main things that I came out of this, one of the lessons I learned was pick your battles.
There you go.
Pick your battles. You know, pick your battles. You got to know when to fold them and know when to hold them and know when to walk away and certainly know when to run. So the last one of the things I learned out of this is pick your battles. You have to save ourselves. You know, we want to be all things to everybody. But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you, when I say pick your battles, I would get up, and even right now, my mindset, since I've been programmed these last 3 weeks, I still get up a certain time of the morning for 2 or 3 hours. And guess what? The Bible said Jesus got up a great while before day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I was birthed out of in these last 3 weeks. I still physically get up a great while before day and just bask in the presence of God. In order to maintain our sanity, you have to get up. You're going to have to do what Jesus did.
Got to. You are
Amen.
So right, woman of God. That's right. You didn't hear it from the Lord. You didn't hear it from the Lord. Because, see, and you have to deal with it. You have to deal with that type of pressure and stress, because it's surrender. Yeah.
Amen.
You have to deal with people who are hurting and painful. You have to shift. What you've been used to doing, you got to go back to doing. So there's some duties that I thought I positioned people for, and they had to shift. So I had to go back to those positions. Yeah. That doesn't take away from the fact of who you are as a leader. You have to do
that. Amen.
You got to know the difference between the lion and the lamb in the kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Because most people want you to be the lamb while they're undertoning a lion. I'm not even calling them wolves, but I was the lion. But you got to do what you have to do. Yes. But I bless the Lord for you, woman of God, enduring what you have to endure. There. In considered one of the hot spots kind of area and things are going up. I was talking to a pastor in New York. He said, while everything's going up, the whole entire state of New York is open. See? I said, you know what you said? Everything in New York is open. You can do anything you want in New York. You ain't got to wear the mask. Everything is open. But now you go into the South, you got to wear masks. You go to Boulder. Now, if you go to Boulder, Colorado, which is less than 3% black, actually, there, they don't wear masks. They're walking around free in the high mountains up there in the mountains. But see, it's just a different dynamic.
But now in Colorado, you could, but in Colorado, you could smoke weed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and go up and down the street walking in California. Now, you do that in Chicago, you do that in other states, you're going to jail. You're going to jail for drugs. See the best? See, you see how the world is all confused? That's what I'm talking about in the world. It's so much confusion in the world.
Yes.
Police shoot several weeks ago. Stop a man for blunt, and I'm killing him. Why? Here the joint. So you kill a man for a joint. It's all of these things that you're dealing with in the world. And that's why I talk about the weight. The kingdom. What did I call it yesterday? Anybody remember when they called me the kingdom? And then I call it the treasure. The kingdom carrot, the treasure weight. What I dealt with yesterday. Amen. The carrot weight. You have to have the carrot, and then it determines the weight. And then tell you the value, the cost of it. Amen. Blessing the Lord for you today, woman God. Thank you so much.
Amen. Bless you.
Bless you too. Bless Pastor Aaron, Pastor Dixon, your whole entire Ark Family Fellowship Church family there. We bless the Lord. And we did it. We followed it on Facebook. I think it's about 9,000 views already now. I looked at it last
year,
9,000
views. Yes,
sir. Liked by so many people around the United States. She was a blessing to me. She always gave me candy.
I know.
I remember me delivering from that candy. That candy.
Lord, help them. Amen. I mean, I don't care where we traveled or where. It didn't matter where we were going. She was like, Pastor, we got to stop and get proper the candy. I was like, oh, God.
Yes, my proper magic candy. Hallelujah. And you better believe I ate my candy and then still did my 3.5 hours. Ate my candy and still did my workout. See?
Yes.
All right. She was a jewel. And we had a great
day. Amen.
She invited us over there and fed us very well. And I appreciate the meal that they gave us. And didn't charge me anything. Thank you. I thank her.
Yes, amen.
She was there. In Marion, South Carolina. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jamie. We appreciate you all, man.
Bless you.
Love you, woman of God. On today.
Amen. Love you all more.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
Bless you, too.
God bless you, Prophet Matthews. This is Sister Donna. I have a question, and the question is pertaining to self-righteousness. You made a statement pertaining to self-righteousness.
I did.
Okay, my question is, well, and I know with myself, when I give a testimony, and it's been 12 years, I've been separated and divorced from my husband, and Almighty God has kept me. I have not fornicated, kept me because he's a keeper. If we want to be kept, and
Absolutely.
He will sanctify your hands as well. Even you have people that masturbate. Almighty God, he is a keeper. So when the saints, okay, I'll use myself for an example. If I give a testimony, and if I'm speaking on how the Most High God is a keeper, because we don't serve a weak Jesus, and people, you might have once was something, but when Almighty God bring forth deliverance in a person's life, it's been almost 12 years, and God has kept me. That's because I wanted to be kept. That's not being self-righteous when you give testimonies and show the people just how powerful Almighty God is. He is a keeper. Now, here's the thing. Some people, you know,
hold on.
Fall
first,
back
into. You asking me a question. Now you're going to a statement. So let me respond.
Okay, that's
to
the
your question.
I'm asking you about self-righteousness. Okay, so when a person gives.
Let me answer the question first, because you're going from a question into a statement now. So do you want me to answer the question, or you want to go ask your question and go into a statement?
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I got the question out.
No,
okay.
I just want to be for sure, because you said you want to ask the question, but your question
yes,
is going
sir.
Into a statement. So
okay,
I wasn't trying to take it first. No. I'm only doing because I'm moderating. Listen to me as moderator.
Okay.
You asked me a question. Now you're going into a statement. So what I'm doing now is I'm stopping you to say, do you want to finish your question?
Let me finish the question.
Do you want me to answer your question? Okay, so you're going into a statement. So I want you to know you're going into a statement now. There you go. So now if you want to ask a question, then say, Prophet, I want to ask a question and make a statement. Then I can do that. Because, see, a lot of times on the conference line, what people do is they ask questions, and then they go into a statement and preach. So, no, ask your question, and then I'll ask your question. Then you can make your statement. I just want to be sure.
Okay.
I want to make that
sure.
Let me just don't say nothing. Just let me finish because you keep interrupting me now. What I'm trying to show you a teacher. This is a teacher in the classroom. A teacher in the classroom, a student say, Mr. Matthews, I need to ask a question. So they ask the question, but they're going into a statement. So I start and say, hold on. Let me answer the question, and then I go to the statement. What you were doing, you were asking a question, and then you're going into a statement. So I can't answer your question. So I want to let you ask the question, and then I can give you – then I can answer your question, and then you can go into your statement. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you so very much for explaining that to me. I appreciate that. Well, the question is, when it comes to self-righteousness, is that being self-righteous when we can give a testimony on our victory and our overcoming and how God can keep us? How is that being self-righteous when we're giving God the glory that he is a keeper and that he's a keeper? And we don't have to, if we want to be kept from fornication, Almighty God can keep us from fornication. So how is that being self-righteous when we give our testimony on the victory of not being a fornicator? That's my question. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Well, I want to say this. That's not self-righteous. That's a praise report of what the goodness of God has done, and he gave you the victory in it. That's a praise report, and it's an honorable praise report, and that's a victory, and that's a powerful thing that God was able to keep you, and he's able to keep other people. He's able to keep saints. He's able to keep us. He's able to do that because you won the victory over. You conquered the sin nature in that area. Here's what self-righteous becomes. That's a victory in it. Here's what self-righteous is. Okay, this is a self-righteous person. Okay, I'm going to use me for example. Okay? Self-righteousness is this. I've overcome fornication. I overcome adultery. Now, that's a victory. But I haven't overcome lying. I haven't overcome anger. I haven't overcome unforgiveness. I'm testifying of what I've overcame. Now, when you become self-righteous in a matter, you're righteous about what you're doing, but all of the other things, you're not righteous about it because you haven't overcame it. Self-righteousness. So when you overcome something in life, you overcome it, and that's a victory in it. But your sensitivity in overcoming it is a good thing. But don't be self-right. And I'm not saying you. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you. I'm not saying anybody else. I'm giving you an example of self-righteous people. A self-righteous person now turns and judge everybody else that's not righteous because they have not overcome. Well, you overcame fornication. You overcame adultery. You overcame lying. You may overcame, but then you're being self-righteous because you overcame it, but there's other things in your life you have not overcame, and that person could have overcame it. See, we're being self, but righteous within ourselves. So it's great to give the praise report. It's great to give the move of God, but in our righteousness of God, because the righteousness of God, see, works don't give you heaven. It's your righteousness in God. Because a lot of people think, well, I've done this, I've done this, miracle signs and wonders. Look at A.A. Allen, a powerful man of God, done miracle signs and wonders in the 50s, took 40s, 50s, and literally 60s. And then the mistake he made when he got stopped by the Tennessee State Trooper and for having alcohol in his car. And then later on, he died of cirrhosis of the liver because of alcoholism. But he did great things. But see, the self-righteousness of people, it didn't take away from all of the righteousness of things. But in our walk with the Lord, in our walk with the Lord, we have to be very careful in our self-righteousness because we got to be sensitive to everybody else. God brought you out. Thank God. God may brought somebody else. Thank God. But there are issues in our lives that we're not sensitive of anybody else. So we become righteousness in only what we're righteous in. But there's other things in our life that we're not righteous in. There are people that look down on people. There are people that look at people that don't want to shake their hand or want to hug them. There are people, and since we out here in the open river out here, there are people that I came to hug and wanted to hug them, but they didn't want to hug me. They want to hug me on their terms. Is that righteousness? No. Is it self-righteousness? No. But they want to do it on their own terms. There are people that may not want to smile at me. There are people that want to deal with me only when they want to deal with me. But so we can't be self-righteous. You're only righteous because you want to be righteous in yourself. But then you got to have other people out here that deal with issues. That's self-righteousness. See, you can't have one righteousness and you're good at it, and then all other righteousness, you're wrong at it. Because there are people that are holding unforgiveness with other people. They're righteous because they're only righteous in what they do. I don't smoke weed. I don't drink. I don't like cussing. I don't like lying. I don't like adultery. I don't like fornication. But guess what? I got an issue that I get upset with people who treat other people wrong. You see the thing? So there's things that we carry inside. So I have to be sensitive. Well, God, help me out. Now, I master two things in the world. One thing is a lying spirit. That I mean, I can't stand a liar. I cannot stand a liar because me, hands down, Minister Brian can tell you, anybody who's connected to my inner circle, I don't like a liar. I'm very upfront. If you want to ask, that's why I don't like people telling people, well, I can tell you about Prophet Matthew. No, you can't. Let Prophet Matthew tell you about me. I can say yes and no to any issue. So anybody can tell you something about me, they can't tell you like I can tell you. Number one, stealing. I don't like that. I'm not a thief. Those two, I mastered. I will not steal nothing. I can't even fathom stealing something from anybody. Period. Lying. Period. Those. And they got some other issues. But two of those, you can write in a book. If I say I'm going to do something, I can do it. You ain't got to come back to me 25 times and ask me again and again. If I say I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. If I tell you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. That's just me. That's just me. Hands down, if that me. Even if you betray me, I'll go to the bank with you because that's not me. Lying, I'm not that. I don't join with that. Something must have happened in my child. Stealing, something must have happened in my child. Don't you say? I don't. But I'm sensitive to the person that may be a liar. Okay. And literally, I can smell a liar because that's just clearly how it is for me. I can tell when somebody pulling the game on me. Yeah, okay. I won't say nothing. Okay. Bless the Lord. Keep moving. But what I'm talking about, the self-righteousness of a matter. It's good that people have praise reports. It's good that God delivered them out. It's good that you were delivered for 12 years and 15 years. It's good that a person been saved all of their life. Those are powerful things, and those are phenomenal things, especially in a time when the world is like it is. There's good that when somebody can be able to be celibate and wait on God, there's good that somebody can be faithful to themselves and not touch anybody. It's good that they're able to do those things. And that's a powerful thing in the kingdom of God. It's an honorable thing. But minor things or major things, because, you know, the world, the three major things the church did were fornication, number one,
Adultery, number two. Homosexuality, number three. But we don't deal with all this unforgiveness that these church people have. We don't deal with the unatoning anger and how they look it down on other people. That's self-righteousness. See, we master those things that are good for us, but we don't look at ourselves and our behavior, how we treat other people in the church. That's mess. We got people that master the art of what they do. They're good at it, and that's fine. But we have to look at ourselves. And so tonight, if what I said to anybody, if it offends you, thank you. All I'm going to say is thank you. And I'll say thank you. And I'll say why. Because I'm not going to change my point of view on what you feel or what you think. Because if you show me in the scripture that is wrong, then I have to come back and come subject and repent. And I can do it publicly. Like, I have no problem. So under the righteousness of God and the self-righteousness of people, because you have a lot of people self-righteous. They are self-righteous. But it has nothing to do with our works. See, we get it wrong. It has nothing to do with your works. It's a lifestyle. These things are lifestyle. See, I can cast out demons all day, and that's a work. That's a gift. And speak in tongues all day. But if my life is not in the righteousness of God, those things mean nothing. I gotta live those things as I preach them. See, you got a lot of people that are gifted in these areas. They gifted. You got gifted people that are flowing and powerful gifts. Because the gifting calling comes, and you don't have to repent for it. You got people that flow in their life. They have a life out of the will of God. So people think works. The kingdom of God is you. Well, I work to do miracles. You have to work on your soul salvation. You have to work on that. But it must be the righteousness of God. You have to work on the righteousness to be right. But I'm talking about working to do miracles. Okay, I'm gonna do miracle signs when I'm going to heaven. But then I'm a perverted person behind, and I'm a pedophile. I can speak in tongues great, but behind the scene, I'm not your boy. You understand when I'm talking about works? So I can sing and blow the mind of the people with church world, and like I know one person did before he passed away, but ended up dying with AIDS. Profound people. You follow what I'm saying? Those were the works. They did, they blessed people around the world, but then look at their life. Now, anybody can come in, because this is open, because I'm not trying to scare anybody or throw anybody away under the bus or anything like that. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. I'm open to take your questions, your comments. We're in overtime, so we might as well drab on into overtime. We can drab over to overtime. So that's what I'm saying. So I'm not taking away from any man or any woman that God fully delivered them out of. If it's homosexual, he delivered you, man, I'm happy. If it's fornication, he delivered you, I am happy. If it's adultery, he delivered you, I am happy. It's an honorable thing. If God delivered you out of lying, it's an honorable thing. If he delivered you out of harboring issue with people's lives, that's an honorable thing. If he delivered you out of anger and rage, that's an honorable thing. If he delivered you from those things, but it doesn't stop the battle or the fight from all of those things either. Because, you know, you're going to still deal with the warfare of all those things. That's all I'm saying. And it's nothing personal against you, woman, God, or anybody else. But I'm just bringing that out. Now, okay. I think you might want to ask a question to somebody else. Go ahead.
Yes. Amen. I thank Almighty God for your response in that prophet Matthew. But I was really, my main focus was on just letting the people see that Jesus, it's about Jesus being that keeper and Jesus being that deliverer. Because it's no works of mine. You got to just have a made-up mind, and you got to want to be free and want to be delivered. Then the Most High God can keep you. And that was I was just giving God the glory, because 12 years being separated and divorced from my husband, Almighty God has kept me. He has kept me. There's many other testimonies, but that particular testimony was just one that I was giving at that particular time. And then there's many more testimonies to come. we know that all have fallen, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Almighty God. But the enemy, it's like he wants to silence the mouths of the saints to where they're not giving God the glory and showing how victorious that he is in keeping us from sins. And yes, you have different things that, like you said, sir, you have different things that's going on. You have unforgiveness. You have different other sins. But Almighty God is bringing forth, he has brought forth deliverance. All of us have testimonies. And then even when it comes to peace in church, you know, as the saints of God, we have to be careful how we receive accusations against a brother or sister, because you have a lot of people that lie on people. So we have to have wisdom even when it comes to that. But I thank God for, you see, self-righteousness is looking at somebody like you ain't never fornicated, like you ain't never lied, like you ain't never cheated, or you ain't never stole. No, we give God the glory and the honor and the praise just to show the people, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. He can keep that person. He can deliver that person. So the people need to hear the truth of our testimonies, no matter how old we are. So that's what I was just giving God the glory out of those 12 years. And I thank Almighty God. It ain't got nothing to do with being self-righteous, prideful. It's about directing the people, showing them what Jesus can do. He is a keeper. He wanted to chat. So thank you so much for answering that question. God bless you.
And God bless you, too. And I hope, since this is a good study, I hope that what I said was not something that offended you, that I was just referring to you, because I'm not. So I just don't want you to feel that I said something, because I'm very transparent in that area, because I celebrate you, woman of God, of you for all that God doing in your life, because you're a member of the church. I thank God for your praise report of what God can do. I do. I thank God for people who can live the righteousness of holiness in God. I thank God for that. I honor that, because in the ministry that I do, not just a local church, I met a lot of people who publicly said one thing, but their life don't add up. So when I see people walking, breathing, and talking in the things of God, that's an honorable thing. So I celebrate that. Yet I understand that we all are flawed in a lot of other things. So I don't take that away from anybody's praise report and what God is doing in your life or any believer. Because I believe that in the kingdom of God, we must conquer something. As I shared with the people yesterday morning in the 7 a.m. service, that in the 7 a.m. teaching that I was speaking from what I was sharing from Romans 14, when I talked about Paul dealing with the law, the letter, and he was explaining things. My message was, don't allow the flesh to overrule your favor in God, because a lot of times people allow flesh to overrule their favor. See, a perfect example of saved people. Let me go out on the edge on this. Let me just take this to the national stage, because I'm going to talk to my dad about it, but I might as well go out there. My dad had a problem with me being on a paper with George Biden and Kamala Harris. My dad never said to me, Lauren, I celebrate you for your honorable, you receiving a lifetime achievement month. He hadn't said it. He called me to say, son, I need to talk to you. I saw your picture, and I'm very disappointed. I can tell people that because I'm not scared of nobody. But my dad is saved, sanctified. No, he's self-righteous. And I'll say that public, and I'll tell him that because I'm going to meet him tonight. I would have been off the line. He's self-righteous. And there's issues because of his sanctification of his self-righteousness. I don't agree with Biden. I don't agree with Kamala Harris. But I can get in that company, and a lot of people can't get in company of sinners, because you so quickly to judge a sinner without getting that presence to be able to bring deliverance to them. See, I can get in the president of the United States and say, Mr. President, with all due respect, I appreciate you, but this is my opinion. And then they could turn around and say, you know what, Prophet Matthew, many people wouldn't even say what they would you done. And even though we may disagree with each other because we got too many phony people, that's called self-righteous. But I can come before them and tell them how I feel. And then they could turn around and say, because, you know, you're an honorable man, and I respect you. I may not agree, but I respect you. That's what I talked about when I tell people, you. And then I think you misunderstood this once before, Sister Donna Ben, when I said we can disagree but not be disagreeable. That's what I'm talking about. I can disagree with you and not be disagreeable. That means I can disagree with you about a subject, but I still respect you as an individual. Many people in the church world disagree, but they don't want to respect you. I can get in front of any leader and tell them I can disagree. I don't have to do nothing public with anybody, but I can say this to them unequivocally, that I disagree with homosexuality. I disagree with your agenda. I disagree with you. But I can look at them in the face and say it in a way that it gives them something to think about, and then they can return and say, you know what, Prophet Matthew, I may not agree with, but he gave me something to think about. And then they could think about that through the night and make a decision. And then he could say, well, you know what? Because I honor him, I want to give him a lifetime achievement award. Why? Because he's an honorable person. He said something to me that none of my staff would say, none of the people would say, none of the individuals would say. He said things to me that made me think about it. I might not agree with it, but it's still in my conscience because now God has to deal with me. And a lot of times in our walk with the Lord, we are self-righteous because we look at things from this scripture. Now, and half of the people, I thank God for those who on the conference who knew me, who said, Prophet Matthew, I want to say congratulations to you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. But a whole lot of people, they never said nothing to me about this Lifetime Achievement Award. But it's okay because I don't need your affirmation. I thank you. But let me continue on. So what I'm saying here is that it makes no difference where I am. I'm still the same. I'm still who I am today. See, I'm not one moment one way another way, 1 hour another way, like people are. And I ain't going to call a name, and I'll say it like that. And we ain't going to go on a platform because then the lion will come out of me and the lamb will leave. But what I'm saying to people is that we can't be one way, one day, and one day. You can't be that way. We can't be out of our emotion, how we feel about a person, and then say, oh, I made a mistake. Because to me, if I'm going out on the edge, that's a split personality. That's me. That's a split personality. Bipolar. That's a person with issues. Because people one way with you one moment, and then another way with you another moment. And that bothers me when you deal with people, and you one way one moment, and then all of a sudden you another moment, and then next day you want to be another way towards me. Now that's me. We on the stage. So we got a fire going. Let me put a little more wood on it. A little more fire, because that's what you deal with the people. So we can't be one way here and another way there, and then one way here and another way there. If we're going to live this thing, then let's live it all the way there. Let's take everything there. Let's not be up and down, in and out. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm calling what it is. That's keeping it real. That's dope. That's straight to the point. Let's call it what it is. Some people one way here and one way there. One way here and one way there. And then you don't know who they are. All right. Beautiful night to me. And I still haven't ate dinner yet. And I did my 3.5 mile. I jumped on the conference line. And I said I was going to be out after 8:05. It's 9:24. And I'm still sharing with the people of God. And I still love my brothers and sisters. I'm still sharing the word. And if you have a question and comment for Prophet Matthew, I'm okay to receive it. I may have a different of a viewpoint. It doesn't make a difference if I'm on the picture with the president or the vice president. At the end of the day, I'm a black man. That's in the world for the people who have a lot of issues. And it doesn't make no difference how many awards I get. It doesn't make a difference. Because what profit is a man to gain all of this and lose my soul? So it makes no difference. It doesn't make no difference what I drive, how much I drive, the way I live. It's how I treat people. And there are certain people who just don't treat people right. And it's a sad case. Run around. You love the Lord. You do all these powerful things for the Lord, but you treat people wrong. And that's just not right. Period. Hands down. You got to treat people right. And I told the Lord, the day I don't treat people right and treat people fair and love his people, then I don't need to do this. I cannot treat people wrong. I cannot sit at tables and people will and deal with me. Well, I don't like this person, but I do. You don't like it. And then I tell you about the person, and you don't like it. No, I'm not going to dislike the person because of you. It's a spirit. I got to love that person in you. I got to love him. I got to love her. And I can't be self-righteous. Just because my dad didn't like me being on a picture with the vice president Biden and Kamala Harris because of his opinion towards them, that's his opinion. That's not going to change LaRon. That's not going to change me. Period. Ooh, Brother Matthew, you and I, you shared that? I sure did. And I'll share with them, and I'll share with you. And it does something with you. No problem. You know why? Because people got to come to the revelation that you have to, if you don't tell people how you feel about them, you are dying holding up stuff about people. Just tell them. Explain to me how you feel. If you disagree, you disagree. Get it out. That's the problem with a lot of people in church. We don't get it out. We hold this stuff. Look at how many people got stuff with other people. We holding it. We holding it. But I ain't going to say nothing. Forget it. How they going to think? Okay. Tell me. You know what? Because I've been brought up in a strong family system and a lot of religious stuff. But I know what's right for wrong. So you can tell me. Would I get upset? Yes. But you can tell me. And guess what? I have to get over it. Because God sent people to correct that can tell me. Instead of God getting me, I listen to the person. Well, you're right. I mean, well, I may disagree with you, but you see, you're right. I may huff and puff, but I can't dispute it. You're right, man. Lord, I know you're right. Yeah, ooh, that hurts, but you're right. I got to get that thing together. I got to get that issue together, so I can agree to disagree. So. It's not. Now, what I would tell my dad, and I'm going to share with him, you should have said, son, congratulations on your award. However, I would like to share. Okay, good. But the religious side is to worry about the sinners that I would. And that's what Jesus did. And Zacchaeus' house. That's what Jesus did with the Pharisees and the Sadducees that I was talking about. He said, the kingdom of God is here. If no one ever goes in the offering with Biden and never tell him, you can talk about Biden and anybody else you want and Kamala Harris all day and night. But if you don't get into their presence to tell them the word of God and give them what the word said, I don't care how much religion you sit out here talking and watch. Because, see, people don't understand the platform you own. They don't understand the backroom talk. Because it's easy to talk from looking in at a picture. It's easy to talk from viewing from the outside. It's easy to say what Prophet Matthews can do and what he's not doing. You don't know what I do behind the scenes. See, me and Administrator Brian been in places some people probably would never go, and then some people will go, but we're trying to help you understand what it takes. Because, see, you don't go in certain areas, and you wait for the opportunity that God presents you. But you got to be, hey, a lot of people talking all that general. And I'm going to ask him, is he saved? Wait a minute. You ain't going to go there and do that. You got to gain the heart of the people. Look at how Daniel gained the heart of four kings who didn't believe in his God.
but he stayed in that presence and he gained that heart. See, we don't gain the heart of sinners. We go straight at people trying to do it religiously or ritually or what we've been told or taught. Evangelism in the kingdom of God is being able to release your heart, not your mouth, to help somebody. You can show the heart of yourself. There's many people that I've met. Millionaires, and they came back and blessed me. I've talked to people who don't believe in God. They're atheists. But when I talk to them, and after I talk to them, I put something on their heart to think about. Now, they connect with me in a spiritual way because I came to them in love. See, love is a powerful tool over all its religious genre. The word of the Lord God, he used sowing discord as an abomination to a man that's sleeping with another man and a woman sleeping with another woman. So that must be a powerful word that when he said, yea, seven, even sowing discord among the brothers. How many people went to another person in the church and sowed discord with that person? You and an abomination. And then you got these people saying that was Old Testament. Well, then why are you reading the Old Testament and preaching it then? Then just the case, cut the Old Testament out, go into the New Testament, and just preach the New Testament, because that's self-righteous. See, we become self-righteous. There's some people who won't tithe their churches at all. They say, well, I believe in giving an offering. Okay, and they still won't give an offering. See what I'm saying? Because, see, the way the religious world is, it's totally out of the presence of God. We try to introduce people to a building to sit in. Every seat in almost every arena there is in churches are empty. I was just talking to a pastor who we were just talking, matter of fact, was it today? Matter of fact, I believe it was today, or yes, no, it was yesterday. Yesterday, we had lunch, dinner together, and he was telling me about a large pastor church. He said, their doors are closed. He said, but all the other little churches, their doors are open. Well, when you look at statistics, his church is 10,000. These other churches said 40, maybe 140, maybe 50, they're full. But he said, well, he's doing virtual. Okay, well, if that's what he's doing virtual in his ministry, that's his way of dealing with it. The people may not have the faith that you have. How many members that we have in our local church that I've actually talked to that said, well, Pastor, we watch you on Facebook. We prefer not to come into the church yet because we're dealing with the COVID-19 or we caught COVID-19. I respect that. I can't worry about all other members. Oh, that's such and such is not you. That ain't your business. Just enjoy. Just focus on you. If you focus on you, let you deal with the rest of the people. And that's what ministry is about. Because there's certain people who don't want to come in the building, and I rightfully understand that. There's some people that got pre-existing things in their life. I rightfully understand that. But I share with you my point, and I share with you my stand. I don't force my faith on anyone because everybody has to have a measure of faith. Our conference went well in June. We filled the place up. We shouted. We jumped up and down. We were blessed. We had a great time. No one left with Corona-19 or COVID-19 in the building. That's our faith in God. And even when it rained that whole day, it rained profusely. And God still moved. There are other people who had events that I had. Also, 18 of their people left the conference with COVID-19, the virus. Man, what happened? It was 18, and they went down to the T and did it. I said, man, I said, well, you know, better God, I just pray. I believe God, you know, I believe God. My faith was different. Their faith was different. But what happened? I can't explain what happened as it relates to what they went through. But I know what my faith was at. I know how to trust God. I know how to believe God. But the power... And this is powerful, too, because thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. This is what the Holy Ghost said to the man. He said, if you're a leader that's covering people and your faith is there, I protect you, and you know how to protect the people. So the people, through your faith, and they're watching your life in faith, they'll faith to connect with where you at, because they'll understand your level of faith. You don't force it on them. They watch your level of faith. They look at you. I understand what the lungs are all about. So when I went out to do my 3.5-mile walk, I run half, so I do a 3.5, so 3.5 miles, one and a half, almost two, I run. Then the other, I walk. So when I walk, I breathe my lungs, and I pace myself with my lungs. So I breathe through my nose the first quarter, then I breathe through my mouth because I clear my lungs. Then I prepare my body because I know that I'm breathing certain things in atmosphere. So you have to understand, I don't do a lot of swimming. Like I love to swim. I would prefer to swim than doing anything else. Because when I jumped on the conference line today, I just finished. So I jumped on the conference line. So 20 minutes before I jumped on the conference line, I did my workout, came in, prepared, looked at a few notes, did what I did, exercise, washed up real quick, and you know, came on the line to do what I do. So I probably would hear me a little breathing because I was still in that high breathing apparatus. So in saying that, you take care of your lungs so that when you start breathing stuff in, then when you feel like something is starting to take over, your body speaks to you. My body is a divine messenger. So when my body starts talking, he says, Leroy, you need water. So I go get alkaline water. He said, you need vitamin C. I take vitamin C. Take vitamin D. And then if something else happens. So what I did, I take a lemon, cut it, put the orange peel in there, take a garlic, cut it, and I sit there for 15 minutes and I breathe it in, out, fill the pool in my nose, in, out, breathe through the mouth, breathe, in, out, in, out. And you take, see all of the remedying. I ain't got to go get no shot, but somebody that want to do, that's fine. I ain't got to shift all of my immune system. I don't eat meat anyway, so I take something green. I don't do lettuce anymore. Most of my stuff is Spanish and green peppers and colorful olives and sauteed with a few little hot peppers. And most people don't like hot pepper. And I just chop a little few things in there, and I eat it. It nourishes my body. And then your body starts talking to you in nature. And I plant-based meat, plant-based this. Then I change it. I went to the Ezekiel bread for a long time. All I would do is eat Ezekiel bread. So I understand what I want to do. So as I get older, and a lot of this stuff helps your mental capacity too, because certain things you do, you won't get angry so fast or frustrated so fast. Patient, wait, be a good person, let God deal with it. Lord, my skin's feeling funny. My hand's feeling funny. You know where I was growing up? My brother used to do his nails a long time ago, and he had a shaft. So in the church, they would talk about, oh, that's a sin. That's going to hell. He going to hell because he was shining his nails. You know, he would put the nail, they would do the nail polish, and so that was, he was going to hell for that. So for years, I was like, oh, well, I ain't going to do that because that ain't right. That ain't right. But I went on and I learned something. And in my own Bishop Reyes Allen had to bring me out of a lot of bondage stuff. We went over to the shop. He said, did you get your nails? I don't know. Take care of yourself. And when I did it broke some things on me. I'm trying to hold my hand. I don't want nobody to see my nails. I don't want people to see my hands. You're in the public eye all the time. Why not take care of yourself? All of this religious stuff. You know, my dad, you know, I love swimming, so I gave up swimming some years ago when I got saved. So after I got saved, my dad said, well, son, you know, that's saved. You don't need to be going swimming because you're out there streaking. So for years, I didn't swim. So you know what? I am not going to stop myself from swimming. I put my swim trunks on, and I get in the water, and I enjoy myself. Now, anybody else, for those years, that's where I was at. I'm not out there for that. That's not me. That may be somebody else, but that's not me. See, you can't project what you have
on other people. And a lot of times we project what we have on other people. Now, I was listening to some jazz. Watch this thing for God. Listen to some jazz. And I had my jazz up blasting. So one of my religious friends said, "Aren't you saved?" I said, "Yeah." "Why are you listening to that?" I said, "I love jazz." "Oh, you know that?" I said, "Come here, let me show you something." I said, "This music you don't like?" "No, because it, you know." I said, "Look, you see what it says?" "Oh, gospel jazz." You're confused. See, you see what I'm saying? You're confused because, see, you got so many people are confused with a genre of music. You say, "Oh, that's gospel jazz?" "Yeah, it's gospel jazz." You see what I'm saying? If I didn't ever show them, then first thing you're looking at is I'm unsaved. You follow what I'm saying? Because people will project you to be what they are. I'm not you. I can never be you. I'm me. I'm me. I can't be you. God met LaRon right where he's at. He projected me right where. God met you right where you at. I cannot be you. I would not, on the other side of my life, give my life up to religious institutionalism. When I went through the divorce, all the church people was on me. People said, "You don't need to be preaching about it. You shouldn't be a pastor because you went through a divorce." I'm listening to all this stuff. And as I listened, now here, and three of the people, I could tell you three preachers, I don't want to give their name, that when I went through that, ate me up, but they had children out of wedlock. They had children on the other side, those three. So that's what I call self-righteous. You know what I'm saying? But they stayed married, but look what they did. See, it's this world right here, thanks to God. This is the world that makes me upset with people. Because we're so self-righteous about things. That's what I call self-righteous. I'm by all stretch of the imagination, I say that to anybody. I'm flawed. So at any time, if I'm not doing God's will, I'm a flawed man. People preach David's story, but they will never experience what David went through in his story. People preach what Esther went through, but they don't understand what Esther came out of, because you got to understand what she came out of. We preach what Rahab had done, but we don't tell Rahab's story, because you can't. Because we can only tell you where they're at. But if you study the events of where these people came from, we'll understand. I thank God from being delivered from tooting cocaine, because I did that. I can testify that. And tell me, people, what I did. I can testify. I don't do that no longer. I don't have a desire to do that. And even when I was with one of my friends that came out of jail, they were doing that. I can talk about things that I'm good in, but there are things in my life that God has to work on me on. Help of God to keep me and sustain me in those things. So I can't judge him. I can say, "Man, you know, this is what we've been, brother. You can't do that. Man, come on." Now, when all the other brothers, he called me and said, "Man, you made me think, Lord. Man, you made me think." So I was able to tell them. So when people say, "Oh, you're hanging with these people, you're hanging with them," let me tell you something. If the saints, if the real people who are real get over what people feel you or think of you, you'll be, half of your problems will be over in the world. If you get over what people say to you, if you get over it, I would not be where I'm at if I follow what people told me to do. I would not be where I'm at because I've sacrificed a lot for good and bad people. And people won't do what I do, and I don't expect them to do what I do. Why? Because they're not where I'm at. So I don't expect them. And another thing is the spirit of offense. You got a lot of people that really get offended. They carry the spirit of, they carry a spirit of offense. It's a spirit. They carry the spirit of offense. So it's easy to get offended by a matter. And it had nothing to do with it. It's just the spirit on them because they had a spirit of offense. They were offended by something. You have people who get offended. They carry the spirit of offense. Anything they do, it's offending them. It's scared. Ooh. Ooh, you don't want to tell that. Ooh, I'm happy you did that. I wouldn't get that testimony. Go ahead, me. But I wrote it in my book, and my book is selling. You see what I'm saying? I wrote it in my book, and my book is selling. And then people are reading the book, and they're being blessed. So my experience is telling them how to get delivered. And then you telling me you shouldn't say that. Get up out of here. They tell me about my life. This is me. Most people don't want to do it because they haven't overcame it or they're worrying about what people say. If you overcame by the blood of the Lamb in your testimony, then you don't have to worry about the blackmailing book, the black book that the enemy keeps bringing up in your life and keeping you under guilt and shame and condemnation. I bless the Lord. And then all of my righteousness and everything that I'm righteous in, guess what? It's still filthy rags before the Lord. And all of the everything I do is still before God as filthy rags. So no matter what I do in my righteousness, it's the word of God said, it's in the Bible, it's as filthy rags before the Lord. And guess what? The righteous is going to scarcely make it in. So where would the sinners be? Oh, I'm trying to make heaven my home. I'm trying to make sure this thing is right. Penetrator Brown, when we did that series on unforgiveness, man, look at the number of people that we knew who were harboring stuff in their life. Holding on to stuff. You'll be imagined if you did a self-examination of people and understand what God, Jesus said. You can forgive a man 490 times in a day. I understand that more. I'm like, man, I could see. This is a lot of stuff people hold on. And it's a lot of stuff people don't want to deal with. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to deal with it. I'm willing to deal with it. I can deal with it. I can talk about it. And other people don't deal with stuff. Why? And then, Lord, when I say the honor system, when I was sharing with somebody about the honor system, and somebody got deep with me about the honor system. But if a man come to me, what is it, Galatians 6? If a man come with me in a fault, the Bible says restore them. Just because you married with her or married with him and they get restored because they came to you, don't try to sell me. Don't try to sell me they're begging because you got people to do that to you. They'll try to get you. Well, see, I know what they didn't do. Okay, but they try to live right. Oh, they did it again. Well, the word of God said in one day you could forgive a man or woman 490 times in one day. So that means you can forgive them. You can forgive them. You can forgive them. I did something with my sister. What was it about? A couple of weeks ago? Just a couple of weeks ago? I was talking to one of my sisters. And we had a long talk, years of stuff. But I released it. I still text her today. Hey, sis, how you doing? But I ain't going to do that. No, I ain't going to do that. You got people that, well, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to leave it alone. I ain't going to leave it alone. I'm not going to leave it alone. Because I'm doing something in my life. You hold on to what you hold on to. That's your issue. No, I'm going to win my sister over with love. Even though she may never love. And guess what? My sister loved me. She just got some issues. And she ain't professing to be saved. See, that's the problem. We saved, and we ain't acting like we acting like we should be. So we holding stuff against people. Yeah, here I am. I'm gonna end on this one because it's almost 10 o'clock tonight. I'm gonna end on this one. I'm still keep my promise to my family. I'm going to shoot some fireworks, thanks. Am I going to hell? Because I'm going to shoot some fireworks tonight. I hope ain't nobody going to put me in hell, right? I ain't going to hell because I'm picking all my fireworks and go shoot fireworks with my family, right? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Just want to know. Anyway, so I was talking to somebody, and they went into tongues, and I just got quiet. I just got quiet. I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, I'm waiting for you to finish. No, go ahead. No, I'm waiting for you to finish.
and reason.
My reason. When you tell me when you're ready. So I started talking to you. They went up to tongues again. Okay. I'm waiting for you to finish. When you finish. When I get down. When I finish, I said, no. I want to share. And I want you to do me a favor. Okay? I want you to speak in tongues. I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear me. I need you to hear me this day. Because, you know, you got people that just go in tongues of you and they don't hear you. I said, I need you to hear me. I need to say what's on my heart. Okay. Okay. So when I started sharing, they got upset. I said, okay, what we have? I'm talking in English. I'm sharing with you in English what transpired with this situation. So I'm explaining to them in English. So after we were done, everything was done, I said, I'm free, I'm okay, I'm releasing it, I'm letting it go, I'm done. Right. Now, whatever you do after this day, right. I'm done. Because what I did, I came to them in what? Integrity. I came to them what? I laid my gift on the altar. Now you see what I did? I didn't speak in tongues. I laid my gift on the altar. And I came to them better right. Guess what? They didn't get it right with me. But they still speak in tongues. So, do they mean they still gonna go to heaven? I can't. They did get it right. No, they didn't get it right with me. Did they tell somebody else about it? Yeah. But guess what? They still speak in tongues. Give and calling. And they said, okay, I understand. Forgive me. It was all done. You see what I'm saying, people do? All done. I said, now, are you sure? Because, you know, people, first thing I said, are you sure? Is everything okay? You positive? You sure? I just want to make sure. Now, I told them, me personally, I don't feel what I shared with you, you received it. So, no, I did. I understand. I said, now, I want you to know, I feel you still have an issue here. I know you do. No, I don't. I said, yes, you do. No, I don't. I said, okay. But guess what? They still had an issue. And I still showed them love. But guess what? Until they get it right. You follow what I'm saying, people of God? Until they get it right with me righteously. Because what they did is they lied to the Holy Ghost. See, they lied. They said they had, they lied. And the Bible said liar, homemonger, and adulterer will take their part in the lake of fire. See, they didn't really get it right with me. So they lied to me. And I know it. But I made it right with them. But guess what? They speak in tongues. Guess what? They self-righteous. That's what it is. It's called self-righteous. So? But the Lord will deal with them. See, God, because God will deal with us. And I know the Lord is dealing with them. And he still is. I'm great, but I still love them. How you doing? God bless you. Bless you, too. Everything okay? Good. Good. Praise the Lord. The people have it. There are people who are deeply entrenched in stuff that they had in their past. And they overcame it, but it brings back some things. And it's because of the holy presence of God that they don't go over the edge with it because it's the Holy Ghost that keeps them. But that creeper still wants to do some stuff that they don't want to do. But it's by the grace of God that they don't go where they want to go because it's the Holy Ghost that keeps us. It's the presence of God that keeps you from doing what you do. This ain't have nothing to do with you. Because the kingdom of God, what did they say? What did the Pharisees told Jesus? In that scripture there, what did he say to them? They want a demonstration. This ain't about demonstration. The kingdom of God is at hand. They wanted to see a demonstration. I need you to show me a demonstration. How do you do that? No, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's Luke. Look what they said. I mean, observation, ladies and gentlemen, correction. He said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither should they say, lo here or lo there. But behold, the kingdom of God is within us. That's all. Kingdom of God is within you. And this is a daily walk. This is a daily walk. God daily keep us. Daily have to keep us. Daily have to strengthen us. Daily have to walk us through. And I daily, Lord, forgive me. I repent of every sin I committed against you. By words, by thoughts, by deeds. God, help me. You're a light to my feet. You're a lamp. And the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Absolutely. Some of that stuff inside of people that are so angry, they don't sin, but I can guarantee you in that mind what they thought. It's really a sad situation, what they think of people. It's really sad. Man, you really think that of them? And you don't even have to say it. They express it. But I ask God, Lord, give me the love for you. And if you give me the love I have for you, then I have the love for the people. But to do what we do is not an easy job. Because much is given, much is required. See, at a certain level, when people are at a certain level, they can talk only from that level. When God elevates you to the next level, that's another. Ooh, you'd be like, wow. Now you say, ooh, now I see what you deal with. Some of the stuff my father dealt with, a bishop dealt with, or James Pastor Lattimore, who's my other mother Rose Blackwell, some of the Mother Maida Priest, some of the other ones that I, and when God takes you to that, now you understand those spiritual world and the stuff that they deal with. Man, Mother, you dealt with that? Man, you dealt with that? Man. So now you understand, because much is given, much is required. See, when people talk from a low place and you at a different place, they won't understand that, because they'll be judging you from that place. They'll be trying to judge you from that place and tell you how to deal with ministry from that place. They're not there. So if you're not a pastor, you're trying to tell people how to pastor. You're not a pastor. You don't know what it is to pastor people. So you don't know what the duty is to deal with these family, that person, this issue, that issue. So it's easy to say. And it's easy to judge and give that counsel and wisdom. So I'm going to end on this for real. I think I said it four times, but I'm done. I'm truthfully done tonight. And it's 9:59. I'm going to say this to my brothers and sisters, because we end Yom Kippur, what starts tonight at midnight, and then we go into the next day. We were coming into the atonement, and we end the Jewish calendar, New Year. But to many of you on here today, if I
offended you,
thank you, woman of God. Thank you. Thank you. I was getting ready to say it. My brain moving. Thank you. Offended any of my brothers and sisters on here tonight in any way, form, or fashion, I ask that you forgive me. I apologize to you. If I said something that is not in the will of God towards you, I meant no harm to you. I don't want to harm anybody. If I said it out of my tone of voice, and my tone of voice was a tone that was righteous, but it offended you, then forgive my tone. Because I don't want any believer, man, woman, young lady, the millennials, the Generation X, the baby boomers, I don't want my life to lead you out of the will of God, period. And I don't want anything that I said to cause you to miss the mark in the kingdom of God and the things of the Lord. I forgot to call somebody back one day, and they held it against me for a long time, all over phone call, because I made a promise to them that I'd call them back. And they found out what transpired years later at the Walmart store. They were sick at that time. They held dear to my words. Administrator Brian, thank you, God. They held dear to my word. My word meant a lot to them. But because I did not give them a call back, because somebody in my family had passed away, they held that. And that very issue caused them a lot of pain. You follow me? Y'all follow me? This is true. This is actually the truth. When I finally saw them and walked up to them and said, "How you doing? I'm sorry. How you doing?" And try to embrace them, and they went all around the world. I had to let them say what they said. Yeah, I'm like, "Yeah, you remember that such and such? I've been waiting for you." I said, "Man, that was 2009? That was 2009. Yeah, and I see you preaching, you doing all these things. I said, yeah. 2009. Because I did not return their phone call. All of these years, because I told them, "Don't worry, I'm going to make sure I call you back." But when I hung up the phone, there was a life-altering circumstances that happened in my life. And the life-altering circumstances in my life called that person for these number of years to hold the issue again. And they were sick at that time. So I tell people now, if I've done anything from a phone call to a text message to just a mere word, forgive Maron Matthews today. I apologize to you, my brother, my sister. I apologize. Please forgive me. Amen. And amen. And amen. All right, I'm done. Thank you, saints of God, for joining us tonight. Happy Labor Day to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, countenance shine upon you. May his will and power be with you. May he navigate you in the things of him, directing your path. I thank God for you. Amen.
The shofar, man of God.
You sure can. But let me say this again. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace to all the saints. Go ahead, woman of God. Yes. Thank you, woman of God. I appreciate that. Lorna Shofar. Bless you on today. Amen.
Bless you.
Happy New Year. May you be inscribed and released for a good year, 5782, the year, the Shemitah year. It is the year of release. Move with faith unto God. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Hallelujah. My minister, Rita Bryan. I got you, Minister Bryan. Thank you, Minister Bryan. That's why you got to have a good administrator. Woo! Amen. Amen. Bless you, Administrator Brown. Thank you so much. Thank you, people of God. Appreciate it. Bishop Maggie O'Banks, thank you, sir. Those who listen in. Woman of God, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. My brain is moving so fast. Oh, Lord. It's coming to me. It's coming to me. Thank you anyway for blowing the shofar tonight. Sister Teasley, Evangelist Teasley. Thank you so much. Bless the people of God.
I'm honored.
Amen. Thank you, thanks to God. And may the Lord be a blessing upon you and keep you all. I used to, you know, I told Minister Devine, I used to have to be careful when I